All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam.
Hey, welcome back to Corolla Classics for December 29th, 2022. Oh yeah, man, we are getting to the end of the year, and I'm just so excited to get the Adam Carolla Show back on January 3rd. When look, I love starting the new year, and I love hearing everybody's resolutions and just having a fresh start. So I can already tell it's going to be an incredible year. But look, that's looking too far ahead. This is the show where we look back. So we're going to play highlights of the Adam Carolla Show here. My name's Chris Loxamana. I'm the executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
About next year, Chris. I can't wait.
I know.
All right. I'm so excited.
Well, speaking of milestones, let's get going with our first clip. This is probably my favorite Rich Banks song ever, just because of the effort. It's the Top Gun Maverick of Rich Banks songs. It was ambitious, and he nailed it. And this is the premiere of He's Done 2,000 Podcasts from Rich Banks.
Yeah, this is probably the favorite Rich Banks song of the average fan. I'd say the more skilled, educated fan likes He's Done 3,000 Podcasts more. There's some extra lyrical change-ups make it a little better. This is Adam Carolla Show, episode 2,000, featuring the Try Guys, avoiding controversy but not being in this clip, Gina Grad and Brian Bishop. World premiere of one of the all-time greatest parody songs ever done in the history of music and art. Hope you guys enjoy.
There's an electricity in the air today.
Yeah, man. That's why my hair's a mess. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Congratulations, everyone.
I want to say this. Things in life creep along.
Oh, we're getting heavy.
And they happen very gradually. And the very gradual part is the part that makes it difficult to wrap your mind around or understand.
Yeah.
The person who you see on a daily basis, who loses 80 pounds, that's understandable, but never jarring.
Mm-hmm.
It's that same person you haven't seen since last year, and then you see them, like, oh my God, the weight!
Yeah, what happened?
What happened? It's amazing. Oh, great. It just elicits a different response because it's all at once versus the very slow, I've lost 4 pounds a week for the last 17 weeks, mm-hmm. and now here we are. So that never really gets any response because sometimes it gets looking good or whatever, but it doesn't really get, not from the day in and day out, because those people see you every day, mm-hmm. hard to tell. And it's a human thing. What we've been able to do here and come to a place and come to a studio, I had to, as I was floating around in my freezing cold pool the other day and looking at Philly Cheesesteak, who does this great move, which is he gets on the side of the pool and looks down at me like, hey, I'm not fucking nuts. I'm not going in there. Like, I have a 3 IQ, but I'm still not going in there. But he's all jowl when he looks down at me. You don't get that POV of your dog that often, or hopefully if you do, you've used plenty of water-soluble lube that'll come off in the pool. But that dog just looking down, his jowls start surrounding his eye sockets, which is funny when the jowls spill up mm-hmm. into the eyes, and he just looks at me, and he does this weird move where he takes one paw and he just puts it out. Not really, he's not sure what he's getting out of it. He's not sure what he's doing. Are we high-fiving? Is he trying to pull me in? Like, I don't have anything he needs. Yeah. He just does a thing with his paw.
Is there a little bit of like, is he okay? Should I check him for to make sure he's moving?
I wish. There's not.
Okay.
But I was just floating in my freezing cold pool, and I was thinking to myself, you know, you've been able to carve out a life where you have a warehouse, where you've built a studio in your warehouse, you've surrounded yourself with people you want to work with, and you get to go in there every day, and that's your job. And I was thinking, that is insane. That's an insane notion. I mean, look, it's insane enough that you're able to get a job on Spike TV or you get a job on whatever radio station or whatever that is. But the idea that you just get to go to that warehouse you bought to put a couple of cars in back in the day and go sit in your studio and talk into your microphone as a job is pretty outrageous. Now, it's been done incrementally and for so long that it doesn't feel like it would feel if I was just in high school or swinging a hammer or whatever it was my former life was. If I just woke up here, it'd be like, oh, my God, this is insane. And it's important, I think, for everybody to sort of see if you can dunk yourself in the freezing, frigid waters of life every once in a while and think, wait a minute, here I am. Look at this. I mean, it's so easy to, with the kids and the schedule and everything, to have everything just kind of pass you by. We're at the, you know, we're capable as humans of marveling at, you know, you took me, take me in TiVo or DVR. I went from, wait a minute, you can't stop TV. You can't pause a live show.
That's not a god.
I'm not a warlock. That's alchemy. Well, you can't do this stuff. How do you do it to Jesus Christ? I recorded the goddamn playoff game, but didn't do the spillover.
The
thing ran 17 minutes. I didn't see the fourth quarter. I didn't see the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. Now I'm ripped yet.
Yeah.
That's how we're. That's what we're able to do as human beings.
You're right.
From the oh my god, I could have traded a 5-year-old DVR to Elvis for his house in 1975.
Yep. Possibly two of them.
Possibly two of us. Yes. And a couple of his lady friends. But now I'm yelling at mine because it wasn't smart enough, or I wasn't smart enough to hit the extend and record the rest of the fourth quarter of the football game. So that's where we're at. And I am going to tell you right now that I do appreciate this, that I do think about this, that I realize that it can't be done without you guys, and it can't be done without the sharing. I took Philly cheesesteak for a walk on Friday night when everybody was somewhere other than home, and I just called the guy, Matt, from Chicago, who had lost his dad and his sister in the plane crash.
It was nice.
And we had a nice chat. And he's 24. And my God, I mean, you know, talking to him about his tool room, and him and his dad had his tool room, and they had the tool room in the basement. And I was asking what he had. And he did this part where he said, we have a bandsaw. There's a bandsaw, but I have to put it together. It's still in the box kind of thing. And I sort of realized, oh, he got that while his dad was around, and they had planned on putting it together and using it. But we had a very nice conversation.
And it meant a lot to him that you called.
Well, it meant a lot to me because I sang our fans. He said, oh, we saw you in Chicago, and we saw you doing stand-up, and we saw you doing a live podcast. And I took my dad took me, whatever it is. That's why we're here, and we never lose sight of that. So I want to thank all of you for listening for all these years and being a part of these 2,000 episodes. So I appreciate it. And now we'll move forward with our 2,000th episode. Let's see. We got our Rich Banks song, Gary. Mm-hmm. Brian has it.
I do.
All right.
I have not heard it.
I have not either.
Let's check it out.
Let's give it a listen. This could be the beginning of something great, or it could be painful, humiliating 20 minutes. Let me tell you about, first off, I got to say this, I'm nervous. I don't know why, but I've never done this before.
Jimmy Kimmel, Pets on Plane, Adam's Magic Crystal Brain, Backup Beepers, Brian's Cancer, Lazy Hippie Mom, Seth MacFarlane, Gavin Newsom, Asshole Patent Troller, Sue and Brian Cranston, Brian Bishop, both spelled with a Y. Ken Burns, Achatine, No Red Turns, Jay Moore, the Def Rag guy, Brian Cranston does gay eye, No More Showers, Hygiene, he pissed off the Philippines, Alec Baldwin reeled, Hoffer Darnes, Ryan, goodbye. He's the 2,000 podcast, and he'll keep complaining, anger never waning. He's the 2,000 podcast, and he'll keep on going, cause it's hard, he's blowing. Overpowered.
power makes you sick. 50 years we'll all be chicks. Max have had a half Targaryen jerking on a flight. Fitz Dog, Dr. Spaz, Richard Martin, and White Jazz. Larry Miller's road trips occupy Wall Street. K-Rock, Road Hard, Newman's got a winning dot. Fonda Lear is dropping turds. Holland Williams doing birds. Strasser, Week in Rage, podcast on a cruise ship. Endless Rant, IPA, Tournament of Roses. These are 2,000 podcasts.
Comprehensive.
Wow. Wow. Keep complaining, anger never waning.
There's gonna be 10 more verses.
Table game, Artie Lang. August looks like Katie Lang. Rich Banks, Gina's tits. Who the fuck sells this shit? Gary Ghost, Dr. Drew, David Wild, Bald Jew. Lackey stole his microbrew. Elliot Gould interview.
Oh my god.
Sonny Bono, Yoko, Beastie Boys, Holland Notes, Buell, Hauser, Mike Rowe, Mayo, Vio, Retardo, Dawson, President B, made a peanut allergies, retards at the Huff Po, Kevin Smith's an asshole. He's a 2,000 podcast.
Lord.
Wow.
And you keep complaining, anger never waning. He's a 2,000 podcast. And you keep on going, cause it's hard, he's blowing. Albert Brooks has best guest, Lynette kicked off Southwest, Molly, Philly, Big Mama got it all. Sonny and Natalia, not Taco Bell material. Olga, cheap calls, chain smoking baby doll. No beer in first class, Dagas, Teddy, Pendergrass, DFT, not JV. What else do you want from me? He's a 2,000 podcast, and you keep complaining.
I hope it goes another hour.
Yeah, me too.
He's a 2,000 podcast, and you keep on going, cause his heart is blowing. Definitely not a Jew, rich man, poor man, Bollywood, Kalen. Taxes, fair share, Jeff Ross, Rose, Eisen, and the Dope Post. Guinness record from Gervais, Celebrity Apprentice. Made a movie, favorite tweets, red bracelet for eating beets. Do his best, not your best, window of negligence. He sold out Seattle's more, Mangria's in your liquor store. What can he complain about? Mom is chanting freak out. He's a 2,000 podcast.
Yeah, Rich Banks with, I'm guessing, an assist from Mike Lynch.
That is their opus.
That was amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
We should play that on stage in Fresno.
Oh,
yeah.
People
would love that. Yeah. That bears repeated listening. There's a lot. I need to unpack that song.
Yeah.
Simply Safe. Property crimes and burglaries. Well, they steal packages off of your porch. I think they call them porch pirates. They go up in the winter, especially around the holidays. Now's the best time to secure your home with award-winning home security from Simply Safe. Make a resolution to start the new year with greater peace. Well, peace of mind and peace just in general to all. And you want that safety. That's where Simply Safe comes in. Two eyes in there. This is a great company. We all use it here. They've been sponsors for years. And the stuff's ergonomic and sleek, easy to set up. Named Best Home Security System of 2022 by U.S. News and World Report. That is 3 years in a row. They have 24/7 professional monitoring, cost under $1 a day. And they have an app you can arm, disarm, unlock a guest door so people can come by and, you know, you don't have to pick them up at the airport. They can Uber over and you can let them in without leaving work. Cameras they got. You can adjust your system settings with the app. It's Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/Adam. Go today and claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off your order with interactive monitoring. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
And that was a world premiere if he's done 2,000 podcasts. Such a good song. All right, now for our next clip. It's a continuation of one we heard yesterday, but we're going to bring
up. Hey, Chris, wait a minute. What if I never counted the podcasts?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
What would have happened?
We wouldn't have had any music at all.
There have been songs, but how would we ever have known?
I know. It's all.
Like last year, Rich Banks was like, he's done 1,000 podcasts, probably.
Yeah, I mean, we would just take that gamble.
3,700 bucks.
All right, for our next clip, this is a continuation of one from yesterday. It's from 2013 with Ed O'Neill and Rory and Gracie. We were so excited to have Ed O'Neill on the show. And then, because obviously we're a huge Modern Family and Married with Children fans. I mean, Al Bundy is just a legendary TV character and staple.
I'm partial to Dutch.
Oh, yeah, and Dutch too, of course. Now, so imagine our surprise when Ed O'Neill was coming on, but to promote some Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
I already was kind of hip to the fact that he was a triple black belt and a lot of other stuff. So I was like, all right, yeah, this fits. And it was one of the most fascinating conversations of the show history. This is part two of episode 1016. Ed O'Neill, Rory and Gracie in studio, February of 2013. Hope you guys enjoy.
Welcome to the program. Welcome, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Bald Brian. Watch out, boys. This blonde bombshell packs a punch. And Ed O'Neill.
Hi, guys.
Big fan of Ed O'Neill. I had the chance to sit behind him at the Disney premiere of Wreck-It Ralph a few months back. And he played, I had to look it up. I couldn't recognize your voice. Mr. What was your
character? Litvak.
Litvak. Oh, Litvak. You're Mr. Litvak.
Mr. Litvak.
I had a beautiful moment with my father today, who never disappoints. He said, I want to come visit the kids. And I have twin six-year-olds. And I said, yeah, well, you know, they're jet-setting all over the place. They're literally, they're Harlem Globetrotters today. There are always activities everywhere. I said, I just did the voice in a big Disney movie. And they're going down the red carpet saying hi to everyone. And he went, all right. Yeah, it was one of those moments, but I was waiting for the moment where he went, well, what was the name of the big-time Disney movie you just did the voice in? That part never kicked in.
It's like he's pretending. He doesn't hear it.
That's right.
He doesn't go in.
Ed O'Neill, though, I sat behind him. I invited him on the show. Brian, yes?
Can I be honest with you? I'm a little bit starstruck here at Ed O'Neill in the studio.
I don't often get.
You know what it is? At least for me, Adam, I pinpointed it. It's when the guests come in and they were big when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And when Married the Children came out, very influential on a 10 through 15-year-old, you know, balding Brian.
He wanted to be a young David Faustino.
Yeah, I did. Oh, what I wouldn't have given.
And a really interesting theatrical career with lots of cool projects. And then Modern Family, I think arguably best comedy on television over the last three or four seasons. I mean, I think everyone agrees, at least the Emmy Academy seems to agree.
It's up there.
It's an incredible show. And, of course, that's Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock, ABC. I never miss an episode. It's just a really well... It actually gives you a little faith in humanity because just when you thought all the sitcoms and every idea had been fucked out and every idea was bad, you go, oh, here's somebody who gets it right.
Lloyd and Levitin, pretty good guys.
So you, I know you have, we'll get into a little jiu-jitsu in a second, but I seem to recall that you were a football player and that you tried out for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
1969.
Wow. And where were you out of?
Youngstown, Ohio. Knowles, first year.
Where did you play your college ball?
Ohio U and Youngstown State.
And what position did you play?
I played tight end, middle guard, defensive end, linebacker.
And what was your size back then? Penis.
225, 230.
Right, but the guys in the NFL in 69, average offensive lineman was 250-something, 260-something.
Yeah, offensive guards around 255, 260.
Yeah, there was guys.
Joe Green was the big guy. He was 280.
There were room for guys like you.
Yeah,
there
wasn't, as it turned out.
I always have these conversations.
Well, you played football, right? You played.
Yeah.
He rarely talks about it.
I rarely bring up the All-Central Valley, North Hollywood High, 1982, and it rarely comes up. Rarely. You know how it is.
It's Al Bundy-esque.
That's all I have. It's Polkai. It's Al Bundy and Polkai. That's all I have. And you know, as an actor and as a performer, you would have given it all up just to have a couple of good seasons in the NFL.
But now looking back on them, they did me a favor.
Yeah, he saved your brain.
Yeah.
I will say this. It's always weird when you talk to athletes, professional athletes, and how little they know about the game, whatever the game is. And you were talking about being a little bit undersized. When I did Dancing with the Stars, I was doing it with Jason Taylor. Jason Taylor is a guy who played, 15 seasons in the NFL as a 225, 230 pound. He was a defensive lineman, but he was an end. But I mean, in a realm where guys are going 285, he was 50 pounds off.
Yeah.
He played professionally. Yeah. I mean, when you see him in real life, he looks like a basketball player. Does not look like he has 3% body fat and a 32 inch waist or something. There's nothing about him that says bulky or anything. But I was talking to him. We were doing Dancing with the Stars. I said, you know, you're pretty slim guy for, you know, D lineman, but worked pretty good for Freddie Dreyer. And
that's
he
right.
said, who? And I said, Fred Dreyer. And he said, who's that? And I said, well, first off, Fred Dreyer, when you entered the league, Fred Dreyer couldn't have been that far removed from the league.
He was about 215.
And he was another skinny defensive end who was a Pro Bowler. And I'm sure his name must have come up a number of times when people were talking about your size and drafting you and whatever. And he's like, I've never heard the name Fred Dreyer. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Sad.
Glory is fleeting.
Played in a Super Bowl.
Did you ever see the size of Fred's hands?
Oh, he's a lot of man.
Biggest hands I've ever seen on a human.
No, I know. He's been in here. Yeah. No, actually, he's the biggest forehead you've ever seen on a human. Yeah. And second, but I had to tell him he was Hunter. And then I think it all came into focus.
You know, I did one of those. I did
an episode of Hunter?
I did an episode of Hunter.
I'm sure you're excellent in it. What was the role?
I played a cop who was killing my parolees.
Bad cop.
I was a parole cop. Whatever they call that.
PO.
A PO, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was killing some of them.
Hunter's going to get to the bottom of this.
It's called The Garbage Man.
54 minutes. Yeah. Well, we're going to find this.
Yeah. He shot and killed me at the end.
Now, is his hand too big for a gun, or does he need a special oversized gun?
I think it is too big for the gun.
We're now looking at Ed O'Neill, Hunter, the Garbage Man episode.
Me.
That's just how fast this is.
That's not me, by the way.
That's a stunt walker?
That's a stunt walker, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're a vigilante parole officer.
I'm a rogue.
Rogue. He's gone rogue.
I've gone rogue.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is not me. There,
now,
that's me.
There, I got that.
He just busted a door down with what the cops used to the giant thing.
Yeah, he's TV's going to go. It used to break my heart when people would break TVs because I was like, that's like seeing one of my children die. You know, I mean, they used to blow up TVs and shoot TVs. Jeez. TVs are too cheap now. No one pays any never mind to them in TV shows and movies. But it was a big deal. You'd have please don't take the battering ram to the dog.
Do you know anyone in real life who's ever done that to a TV?
No.
No, but it's not satisfying anymore because they're all flat panels, and it's just, you know, Elvis could shoot his TV, and it was a vacuum tube, and it would implode or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ed, how do you get from being cut by the Steelers to being shot by Freddie Dreyer?
Oh, my God. I don't even...
What happened?
I don't even remember.
Most of the jocks aren't into acting.
I remember
group.
When I was trying out for the Steelers, the camp was in La Trobe, PA, St. Vincent's College, and Dennis Miller and his brother used to come and hang on the fence and watch the practices.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that at the time, but he told me later, and he said he used to watch, and you know, they had like a, you know, like a list of players. They knew who I was.
Right.
It was kind of ironic, you know, that I got to know, you know, we had the same manager.
And that was the early years when
69.
Ham would have been on the team.
No,
but Lambert wasn't?
The next year. They both
they all came the next year.
I was a rookie with Joe Green, Elsie Greenwood, and those guys, you know. Rocky Blyer was in Vietnam.
That's right. Stepping on a bouncing bedding.
Exactly.
So another super inspirational story there. Bob Urich played him in the TV movie.
Wow.
That's the guy you would want playing you. You'd want the guy from Vegas playing you.
And I did a Spencer for Hire, too.
You did a Spencer for Hire.
Of course.
God.
I played a Portuguese fisherman.
Really?
And a bully.
With an accent?
No accent.
Portuguese fisherman sounds like sounds like a gay move with no accent.
This is another one they'll pull up.
All right, I'll have to pull that one up. All right,
did you ever run into those guys, though? The guys you knew from football camp, or do you ever have an opportunity?
I ran into Terry Bradshaw pretty recently, although he came the following year, but he had done a Married with Children, so I knew him, and I sort of I broke his balls in Hawaii. He was having dinner with his brother and his fiance and his minister.
Wow!
And I went up behind him because they told me, he doesn't want to be bothered by anybody. I said, I know him. No, he still does. His brother's very adamant. I was only going to say hello, but then it got me thinking.
Right. You know?
So I went up behind him, and I saw his brother. It was getting dark. It was an outdoor thing. And the brother thought, who is this guy taking a beeline at Terry, you know? And I went up, and I said, I got right over into his ear, but he never turned around. And I said, Mr. Bradshaw, I said, big fan, boy. When you're down in Southeast Louisiana, you know, playing good ball down there, then, boy. Thank you, sir. And you went to Pittsburgh, got in all that trouble with the Negro. He turned around and he went, you son of a bitch. You know, and that did happen to him because he called everybody boy.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't racial. It was white or black. It was all boy because, you know,
sure,
that's how he talked.
Yeah.
But it didn't play on the 6 o'clock news when Roy Jefferson dropped a pass and, you know, pick it up, boy. You know.
Right. Yeah. He
had to change his ways.
No, it was like Howard Cosell called everyone monkey.
Right, my little monkey.
He called his grandkids little monkeys and stuff, but it wasn't so good when the wide out for the Washington Redskins who
that's
happened
right
to be the rare man of color who played a wide out.
Yes, remember that?
Yeah. So and Bradshaw has acting chops. You just watch Hooper if you don't believe me. That boy can act. Or Gumball Rally, or whatever those movies
did.
Were.
He did a Married with Children. Well, he was good. He was funny.
So Ed, you get cut from the team, or you don't make the squad, or let's say you get injured.
Is the
right and now, like I said, there's the drama club, and then there's the football team. It's not, they don't commingle.
Yeah.
So now here you are. You're a big guy. You're out of a gig. And when does the acting kick in?
I had done it in high school a little bit. I went to a Catholic high school. I had this nun that recruited me, you know, because I was in the speech class.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing it. And then when I was cut, I don't know. I think I saw like an ad in the paper for a local playhouse play. I think it was a movie I had seen. I think it was The Rainmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, I've seen that movie. Why, I can do that, you know.
Right.
Of course, I didn't get the part. But then I went back a few times. And then eventually they gave me, you know, I think my first role, I literally carried a spear.
Really?
Antigone.
Jesus
and,
Christ.
And then I went to the university, and I started doing plays, you know, and I did that for a number of years. And then I went to New York.
And did you work? Did you start working?
I started out bussing tables at a place called Dobson's up on the Upper West Side. And I was the only straight actor in the place.
Smart.
And,
a lot of chicks.
And, well, not for a bus boy.
Oh, yeah.
But then I got a job at O'Neill's Balloon
across
from Lincoln Center as a waiter, kind of a hamburger, glorified hamburger joint, you know.
Yeah.
And then I got an understudy for a Broadway play with Danny Aiello, Frank Corsaro directing about a boxer in the 40s. And I was the understudy to this other actor. And then he couldn't box, you know. I was showing him how. That's
right.
How I got the job. And he was doing a movie, and I was going on for him in the rehearsals at the Minskoff. And Danny and those guys said, "Gee, this guy can actually look good. You know, he makes everybody else look good."
Yeah. The hardest thing in the world to do boxing wise is to shadow box.
Yeah.
You can't fake the shadow box.
No.
You can hit the heavy bag all you want.
Yeah.
And you can do all the other stuff, but just doing it in the air.
Yeah.
It's weird because it's counterintuitive. It sounds like, well, you would be exposed if someone held up the focus pads or if you were hitting heavy bag or you were sparring or something like that. But
it's all form at that point, right?
Right. You can shoot around all that stuff because it's so visceral. There's other guys taking punches and sound effects and stuff like that. Showing, if you ever see boxing movies, you see the guys enter the ring, and the biggest mistake they make is they warm up.
Like a boxer would
warm up. But
and
they,
you see that they're not.
They look very tight. Boxers are very fluid. And there's also a thing where once you've done something, whether it's thrown a punch or swung a golf club, once you've done it 20,000 times, 100,000 times, there's a sort of casualness that you go about it, and there's an intensity that these guys do it, but real boxers have been doing it since they were 8, so they don't have that intensity. Like, their hands are loose. They're not clenched tight. They're not sucked.
You know, when I saw
they're taking a shit. Yeah.
When I saw Rocky, and Stallone ran up the steps.
Right.
That classic famous scene. And when he gets to the top of the steps, he starts jumping up and down, and I thought, he never boxed in his life.
Right.
Now, the other hand, when I saw Brando in On the Waterfront,
right,
and he was leaning up against the wall, and those two, Tammy Moriello and some other, you know, ex-pros, maybe Tony Galeno, came up to him and started mock throwing punches at him, and he just put his hand here, and he just rolled this way, and he rolled that way.
Right.
And he looked like a pro.
Yeah, slipping punches.
Yeah, he didn't do too much.
No, they don't. But see, the whole thing, that's the other whole thing about boxers is if you get punched at for a living, you don't have much of a reaction when someone punches you.
No.
And you also realize...
You don't blink.
The punch only needs to miss me by an eighth of an inch. It doesn't need to meet me by 3 feet. If it misses by 3 feet, I'm moving too much.
Yeah.
You actually would like to just feel it go past you, because that means you're doing as little as possible. So those guys get used to...
And then you can counter.
They get used to slipping. And the other thing they don't do, what they do in movies do, is they don't follow your hands down low. If you punch a boxer in the midsection, he's going to block it with his elbow and his forearm. He's not going to take his hand and go chase your hand because the next one's coming up top. And that's how it works. The more casual you can be about something, usually the more you've done it, and that's how you can kind of tell the pros, whether you're making a baseball movie, a boxing movie, or a chess movie. It's just something about the casual. When you watch professional athletes just warm up, it looks like they're not doing anything because it's all memory.
Yeah.
All right. I got to give a little love to one of our fine sponsors. I want shooting this week. I went shooting on Friday. I went to a range.
Wow.
An outdoor range. And
how
I shot everything.
Wow, what'd you shoot?
Or who?
Puerto Ricans, blacks, all of them. I went after all of them, man. No, I shot my shotgun, which I'd never shot before.
Who did you go with?
Well, I went with my wife, and I went with her brother, who's one of these guys who... Yeah, you may not want to sit next to on a long plane flight, but if you're going to get out the firearms, he's a good guy for that. And he's literally doing the black powder pistol with the musket ball in it and everything. He's got the Tommy gun.
Was he wearing old-timey clothes? I want him to have been.
I wish he was. I wish he was.
The tri-corner hat?
Yeah. He was dressed like Lewis or Clark. But it was hard to tell him apart from like 100 yards. A lot of buckskin with those two.
Wow.
Yeah, I think Lewis was the top, by the way, in the equation. But he was – well, it was funny. We had this great moment where, you know, when you go onto a gun range, when you do anything for the first time, Ed – You'll be right behind me on this one. My greatest fear in life is getting yelled at. And what I mean to say is not getting yelled at, but like correct. Like when I didn't do vintage car racing for a long time. Now I do it all the time, but I didn't want to do it because I knew I was going to get a, hey buddy, what are you? No, you're not pulling out in the right order. No, back it off. What are you doing? You know, like you're going too fast in the pits, or you got to let that guy go, or you cut him off, or you're not wearing the right equipment. Like this being corrected. So, you're on the gun range, and it's like there's a whole, like, do I walk out? I carry all my guns? Like, I put them under my arms, and where's the ammunition? I'm so scared that some dude in, like, amber shades is going to come up to me and be... That was your porn name, wasn't it? He's going to come up and be like, hey, buddy, you don't carry the ammunition and the guns and under your same arm. You go back to your... You know, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So I get out there. We bring it all. It's an outdoor range. So you put all the guns on the table where you fire, and you make sure they're all pointing down there, and the ammunition is separated from whatever. And my brother-in-law, Dean, is giving the whole speech. And look, you take the gun, you move safety on, you check the barrel, make sure there's nothing in it. Then you put the cartridge in. And as he's giving this thing where he goes, it's all about safety. It's all about repetition. And the guy comes over to him in the middle of his safety speech. He's like, sir, you're going to put your glasses on. You can't be in this part. So he got the safety correction because he had his sunglasses up while he was giving us the safety speech. So I got the 9mm pistol and Lynette's .22 revolver and the old timey. By the way, you know what gun felt the best? The old timey Western six shooter.
Really?
It was like a .38, and it just felt smooth and balanced. Like literally, it's a 200-year-old design, and it felt the best. But it's also, it's intimidating. I mean, when you fire that 9mm, that thing's got some kick in the shotgun, and you just think how casual people are around guns. It feels so incredibly powerful. Yeah. And if there was a human being anywhere near that range on the other side of where people were firing it, you'd be completely freaked out. And the notion that, you know, kids in the inner city are just walking around with these things stuffed in their underpants is insane to me. Yeah. Like, because all you have to do is fire one once and feel the recoil and just feel the power and think what it might do if that bullet struck some another human being or God's creatures. And you're like, God, no.
But do you think some people have a different reaction than God, no?
I get
super into the power of it?
It's weird, and you know, it's an interesting thing because it's weird because you're sitting with a bunch of dudes who, you know, look like, again, you wouldn't want to go out to dinner with the guys on the Murderer's Row of guys that are going down this thing. And there's guys, you know, there's crazy Asian dude who's probably got his beefs with the IRS who's 10 feet away from me, and he has an M15 or whatever, and he's just firing shots off, and I'm like, what's to stop this guy from just...
That happens sometimes.
It happens sometimes, but it's very rare. And the reason it's very rare is because I'm sitting on top of my own arsenal. So there's like, you could only go nuts for so long, and one of these guys could turn and just start going nuts, but there would be 14 other guys that would immediately go nuts on him, and thus, unfortunately, it makes schools a better target than ranges, or it makes shopping malls a better, like, you know that if you go bananas on this range, you'll get two shots off, and then there'll be several hundred coming your way.
I think the gun range deaths are not the random strafing. It's like someone wants to kill someone, and they do it in specific.
The problem, though, with the schools and the theaters and that is they're coming in, they're wearing body armor.
Yeah, I know.
Body armor.
Yeah.
You know, you saw those dudes in the valley robbing that bank.
North Hollywood, yeah.
They shot those guys 200 times.
Yeah, I know.
Nothing happened to them.
No, they had to break into a place called B&B Guns in North Hollywood.
To get what they had.
Assault. The cops needed to get assault rifles to go after these two crazies.
That's the problem.
All right. Where the hell is we? We got the Gracies. Now, let's talk about you and the Gracies. Gracies, crazy... jiu-jitsu family. They are to jiu-jitsu what the Walendas are to the circus or act or whatever they are. These guys, there was a UFC many years ago. It wasn't called the UFC. It was basically tough man competition.
Ultimate Fighting, it was called.
Guys just going at it, sort of no holds barred. Some guys would show up in their underpants. Some guys would show up in gis. And the greatest one was a guy showed up in a ponytail, and I was like, I hate guys in ponytails.
Well, it was chemo.
Smash cut to a guy holding the ponytail like a handle and just mashing his knee into the guy's face, and I thought, this is the greatest use of a ponytail on a dude ever. I wish every guy with a ponytail would have somebody grab that thing and just fucking knee him.
Well, that was Horian's brother that did that.
Oh, I don't
know. Hoist Gracie.
Good. Good. He's a hero.
Yeah.
So then the Gracies show up. And they just start submitting everybody. These little guys show up, and they just start rolling these guys up into a ball and choking them out with their gi sleeve. And like everyone's like, what's going on? Because there's all these big, muscle-bound ex-football player dudes out throwing haymakers and stuff. And these little guys come in, and next thing you know, they're sort of they're wrapped around them like a python. Yeah. And next thing you know, the guy's just on the ground, and he can't breathe.
This is a basic question, but are there no rules? Like, anything goes?
Well, there's no, like, eye gouging. And
no what they call fish hooking.
Yeah, no fish hooking, no, you know, grab the cheek.
All others, you know, knee to the groin. Or,
well, there's no...
Now, that's all changed now, but the early days, anything goes.
They've got rid of a few things, pretty much anything. You know, now it's, some stuff like if a guy's on the ground, you can't kick him in the face. You have to wait for him to barely get off the ground, and then you can knee him in the face.
There's weight classes now.
Oh, sure. These were just dudes going at it.
Yeah.
Like, it was basically, it was a bar. They just put a condom machine up somewhere, it would have been a bar fight.
You know who started it was Horian Gracie, who's out there,
mm-hmm.
and John Milius. Mm-hmm. Remember John, the writer-producer?
And
they did The Cage. They developed it.
It was just this crazy Wild West, and it's really benefited now, I think. The timing couldn't be better for mixed martial arts because the heavyweight division and many other divisions in boxing have just been so I don't think there's – if there was a graph that basically said heavyweight division in boxing, this would be an all-time low. It's never been this low before. But, you know, there was a time in the early 80s after Ali with Holmes was mopping up everybody. And, you know, you had guys like Ronaldo Snipes and weird names like that, Mike Weaver and stuff that no one really cared about. But at least they fought. Now there's nothing. There's the Klitschko brothers. They're not going to fight each other. They're super boring, long guys. They're the greatest guys in the world, and they're smart. They don't want to get hit. So they use their 6'7" frame. They keep the guys off them. The fights are boring. They're not busy. And
They fight once a year.
They fight once a year. The UFC is taking off because boxing's golden division, the heavyweight division, has been flatlining for at least 5 years now.
Well, I think in 1948, there were 10,000 professional boxing licenses issued
in 1948.
In the state of New York. Mm-hmm. Today, there's, I don't believe, 10,000 in the country.
That is a sad.
So what does that tell you?
These people are going to college?
Nobody's boxing.
Oh, nobody gives a shit. Yes.
John Milius, by the way, you would know best as writer-director of Red Dawn.
Ooh.
That's right.
And the new one. The original.
Oh, yeah.
And he wrote Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
Everyone else knows him best that
way.
Yeah,
but we like to think of him as Red Dawn. Yeah, because, look, Apocalypse Now, that's a movie, but Red Dawn's a film. You understand that? You understand the difference? Yes. I know you got the black belt.
Jeremiah Johnson.
I don't want to correct you. Jeremiah Johnson with Robert Redford.
Yeah. John wrote that.
Jeremiah Johnson, weird, underrated film. There was two movies that came out in like 1974, like both about two dudes that got trapped in the wilderness. One was just a wildly creative named Man in the Wilderness, where they're like, what should we call this? Dude.
It's a working title.
Where is he? Yeah. He's in the wilderness. Yeah. All right. Call me crazy. It's like That 70s Show, you know. I was like, Man in the Wilderness. And Jeremiah Johnson, I think it was Robert Redford is part of some team that's moving a boat across some land or something, and he's like attacked by a grizzly bear, and they leave him for dead. Or is that Man in the Wilderness?
That was, I think, Man in the Wilderness. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Either way.
No, that was the John Huston thing.
Yes. I don't even know which one that was. Either way, somebody had to make a hut out of leaves.
Yeah.
It's a synopsis.
And it's back in the day when they could make a movie where it would be literally 35 minutes of just Robert Redford walking around the hills.
Yeah.
You know, and chopping wood and cleaning.
His wife and kid were killed by the crows.
Oh.
And then he waged war against the crows.
Yeah, we're talking about the Indians.
The Indians, the Crow Indians.
That's right. That's right.
Sorry about that.
That's right.
Can I ask Ed a question about his film career, as long as we're on the topic?
What film career?
Well, you were in a really, really good, really underrated movie, The Spanish Prisoner.
Oh, yeah.
What was it like, written by David Mamet? What was it like working with Mamet?
I've worked with David many times. It's great. You know, we're good friends, and I did Spartan with him. Spanish Prisoner. I've done two or three things for BBC.
Spanish Prisoner didn't get seen by a ton of people. It's a really good movie.
No. Steve Martin, very good in that. And I've done several of his plays. I always like working with him.
Sounds like a good name for either a rum or tequila-based drink.
Yeah.
The Spanish Prisoner.
Mangria goes...
Want some salt with that? Yeah, some mangria.
Some rum.
Spanish Prisoner.
Well, didn't I explain the reference in the movie? And when my character explained what it meant. Spanish Prisoner.
No, were you in on the con, or were you?
I was in on the con.
That's right.
I was a phony FBI guy.
Right.
Mamet, unbelievable writer. I mean, I think you guys already know that. But what I mean is there's some guys that go, he's maybe a little overhyped, but Mamet, he delivers.
Yeah. Takes brass balls. To sell real estate.
All right. Are we still missing a Gracie? Yeah.
Yeah. We just have Horry in here. We're waiting on Hunter.
Right, when Henner comes in, you fucking lied into him. You tell him 5:30 means 5:30, not 5:32. Yeah, finger in the chest. Finger in the chest, but, you know, the bony part, the sternum part, and sort of back him down a little bit.
Can I slap him with a white glove?
Yeah, and just get, well, no, just keep the finger poke. Keep walking and poking and walking and poking. And say, let's give him this line. Go, listen, I don't know how you run things in your dojo, but over here at Ace Entertainment, we hit the mat on time. And by the way, how about you kick your shoes off and bow before you enter the goddamn studio?
What could go wrong?
Nothing could go wrong. Yeah. So, Ed, you're black belt, right?
Yeah.
Do you and you do the dojo, you do the bow, you do the shoes
no,
off?
No, we don't do any of that stuff. There's no bowing.
No bowing?
No, we shake hands.
I like that. But shoes off, right?
yeah, because the mat. Mm-hmm. You know, you go on the mat, and it's just, you know, we just warm up and start rolling. We call it rolling.
Yeah.
and it's just, it's very casual.
And it's basically...
Like judo, similar to judo. I think judo came from jiu-jitsu.
Is it... People who you're rolling with, they are attempting to submit you.
Yes.
And you're attempting to not be submitted.
Yeah, depending on who you're in there with, you're trying not to be submitted or you're trying to submit them.
Right.
But if they're much better than me, and they usually are, I'm just trying not to survive.
Be submitted. Yeah.
You just don't want to, you know, like, you don't have to win, just don't lose.
Right. And you give, I'll tell you, I'll be honest, I've given people this speech before, you know, because of what you do for a living. Before you go into the dojo, you point your face and you go, gentlemen, this is the cash register. You understand? Anything happens to this, it all goes away.
So I've never looked at my face in that way.
You got to call it the cash register. You understand? You don't want to mess with the cash register.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never said that, although I might have thought it a few times.
Mm-hmm. Red, white, and blue gi?
No, just
white. Red and blue?
White gi.
Oh, okay. I was going to start going down for the colors.
I got the black belt after 16 years, and I said, this must come naturally to me.
Now, was it 16 years on and a few years on, a few years off?
No, it was steady, but it wasn't every day. You know, it was like once a week, twice a week, mm-hmm. and then maybe a week here and there where I was, you know, unable to go, but pretty consistent over that time.
What is the test, and then how does it vary? Because I was talking to my maid about this.
There's different ways to get belt promotions.
Were you seeing you and Michael Clark Duncan?
Yes,
right?
Wasn't that so sad? I was actually with him about a week before it happened.
Yeah, he's recently passed. And, very sad.
Yeah,
and
he had lost like 100 pounds recently.
And he was
really
such
not
a
good for you.
He was such a pile of muscle.
He was all muscle, huge.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
I mean, Jesus Christ!
That's Henner on the left, our left,
right. And again, finger in the chest.
Yeah,
settle this hash. So you got your black belt after 16 years of training, and Elvis got his after like only
after
a weekend.
Year. Yeah, but his had glass windows. You could look in and watch them.
Yeah. So how do they test from school to school, and what's
it
the
varies.
Difference?
I think it varies. I know these guys are very very reluctant to give belts. And there's degrees on each belt. Like a white belt has mm-hmm. 4 degrees, mm-hmm. 4 stripes.
Right.
And you receive stripes, and then you go to blue, and then 4, and then you go to purple. And
right.
You go to brown.
Right.
You go to 4 more, and you go to black. And I think there's 6 on a black belt.
And it's just the pride of the school not to be handing these things out like free lunches,
I mean, the belt, really. I mean, obviously I was happy when I got it, but I never – I wasn't waking up in the morning saying, where's my black belt? You know,
right.
I just kept going because I enjoyed it. And I was learning something, and it was fun.
What do you enjoy watching the UFC?
I do. It's kind of a mixed feeling. It's like almost like watching boxing now for me, you know, where I have such mixed feelings about it.
Well, this is called mixed martial arts, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, it's become a bit of a spectacle.
Mixed feelings, martial arts?
Mixed feelings.
You're going to open an academy.
Mixed martial arts,
bunch of parents going, you think it's a good idea? I don't know. I mean, I think he's got some self-esteem out of this.
Well, I don't know. He could be good in there.
But what I mean by that is oftentimes in the UFC, you'll see two wrestlers fighting each other, and they don't want to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
They want to box.
Mm-hmm.
Because one feels he's slightly better at that than the other, and they won't.
Yeah.
They won't wrestle.
Well,
who wants to watch wrestlers box?
Well, the thing you know, the thing is what you will do is you will figure out what your strength is, and more importantly,
yes,
what your opponent's weakness is, and if he has a bad stand-up game, then you'll want to exploit that.
Right, but there's also all kinds of rules about if you don't submit them too fast, they stand you back up, and they use the cage, and it's a hybrid thing now. They've all learned how to win within those frameworks of those rules.
Right.
And so it's become,
It is, though, now becoming a sport where used to be a bunch of college football players and ex-wrestlers and boxers all kind of going at it.
They really, all those guys in there now are professional athletes.
Now it is literally, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you have any guns, Ed? You ever shoot any guns?
You know, I have a couple of guns, and I never shoot them. I went skeet shooting with Milius a couple of times. Because he's big into skeet.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's big into skeet. Which makes him sound gay, by the way. Who's this skeet fella? I don't believe I met him.
And I tried to shoot with both eyes open. Because they told me you need to have both eyes open. I couldn't hit anything. So
really?
I got very discouraged.
He's big into skeet.
Oh, great skeet shooter.
I love...
shoot skeet.
I was shooting my shotgun not at anything. Just at I'm mad. I was like, I'm mad at dirt. Like,
Did you ever skeet?
I've never gone skeet shooting. I always want to go skeet shooting.
It is fun, actually. It is fun. I think I've done it three times.
I want to do it. Ooh, remember my show we were talking about last week where I take people who travel with their emotional support dogs?
Your dog is fired.
Your dog is fired. And we put it into the air cannon that shoots into the jet engine so they can test the metallurgy on the new jet engines. Skeet shooting. With
celebrities' dogs.
Well, we don't have to do celebrity skeet shooting, but we get the same dogs that we get through the airport, the emotional support dogs, and put them on the skeet, and I just go at it. Well, I start off by saying I'm not a very good shot.
Right.
So, some of these people are very serious. I mean, Milius had shotguns that were $100,000, $150,000 a gun.
Really?
Purdy's and... it was an Italian make of shotgun.
No, they have crazy. The gun making is like you understand. First off, when you hold a gun that's like, I have a whole bunch of guns, not because I'm a gun guy, but my father-in-law is a gun guy, and he gave me a bunch of guns. And you hold a nickel-plated .44 that has like a knurled walnut handle or something on it, and it's like, this is what officers would carry in World War II, and you put it in your hand and you go, wow, this feels just mechanically, it feels really cool. And then you pull it back and you do the action on it and you go, this is a really, like, I understand the attraction. Half the reason I like the vintage race cars is because I like the car. Like, I understand when you hold one of these guns, as intimidating as it is, it feels like something. Like, you go, someone did a really nice job on this thing.
Like, feel that
great,
way
even,
about-
a, even a great knife.
Yeah,
you
that's
hold
right.
a great knife. There's a feeling to it.
And these shotguns that are, hand carved and walnut handles and just the, they're works of art.
Beautiful. In fact, there was one Italian guy named Fabri, and I met John at an Italian restaurant. He was with his wife, and they were in the country selling a gun to John. John would always have the studio buy him a gun. Every deal he made, he would say, "No, I also need
a gun,
a shotgun."
Wow!
And Fabri's
that's
company,
better than a car.
They had a little stone arch. They showed me the picture of their factory, and the stone arch was over a babbling brook. And all the artisans worked in that room, so that they would hear the water running over the rocks, and it was soothing, for all the little detail.
For the gun artisans.
Wow!
And I said, and he said, "You have to buy this gun. You have to buy it. It's an investment." I said, "Well, how much is it?" I had no idea. Well, $75,000 for this one. I said, $75,000? Well, it'll be worth $125,000 in a year. I didn't buy it.
Right. Now it's worth
$250,000.
Yeah.
And it probably is.
Yeah. Coming full circle to your favorite gun from the other day, the .44, John Milius wrote Magnum Force.
That's correct.
Oh, wow.
"Do you feel lucky, punk?" He wrote that line. He also wrote, of course, the great line about "I love the smell of napalm in the morning."
That's right.
Wow.
Smells like victory. Oh, you know what else he wrote?
I want a gun, too. Listen, I want a gun. But you know what? Before I do it in my next podcast, I want a gun.
You know what else he wrote? Probably the most famous thing he wrote was the Jaws, the Robert Shaw
Really?
Scene.
Fingernails on the chalkboard?
No. About the
USS Indianapolis.
The USS Indianapolis. He wrote that scene over the phone to Spielberg. Because when they hook the fish and they're going off and it's getting dark, in the script, it went to morning. They still were being pulled by the shark.
Yeah.
And Spielberg, it occurred to him, well, what did they do all night?
Right.
So he called Milius and he said, what should we do? And he said, have them compare wounds.
Yeah.
Shark wounds. And
yeah.
There was a story, a USS and him, and he'd been a...
Yeah.
And then that was a great scene.
It delivered the atomic bomb.
Yeah. So running without radar or something.
They didn't want to track it. They didn't track it. So when a Japanese sub
hit it,
no one knew that it went down. And Shaw's like...
bobbing like corks.
1,300 men went into the water.
Wasn't that great?
Souls.
And souls in the water. 9 days later...
Yeah.
A half came out.
Well, what do you say about the first shark showed up.
That's right.
A tiger.
Yeah.
That's one of the all-time great moments. Just thinking about a shark's
eyes. They roll over. He's got
doll's
eyes.
Oh.
I love Shaw. Shaw was one of my favorites.
Oh, underrated.
You know how big he was? He was about 5'8".
Really? Unbelievable.
I always thought he was a big
hands guy. Way smaller than Freddie Dreyer's.
A little bit.
I gotta say, yeah, that scene, yeah, when he's talking about the eyes and he's talking about
dead eyes.
Oh, just great. As far as the, I always talk about this, but the in the water, out of the water ratio, I think the hood that the Bismarck sunk was, and there's a few crazy in the water, out of the water ratios. You know, this at least had, I don't know, had 1,300 guys go in and, I don't know, a couple hundred came out
Not a lot.
The hood had like 1,600 go in and four came out.
Jesus.
Like we've never seen a worse in the water, out of the water ratio ever.
What was the Titanic?
They got a lot of guys, at least from the movie.
Yeah, I mean, the lifeboats, they live. But
yeah, I don't know how many souls actually went. We're going to find out. I'll bet you. I know you can't do a worse ratio than the Hood, which is an English ship, but I don't know how many numbers. We'll find out. Maritime disasters. Next, news, weather, and traffic. Maritime disasters all coming up top of the hour.
Wait, I have more gun questions. What did Lynette think of the outing? And then also, how come your father-in-law gave you the guns instead of Dean, aforementioned brother-in-law.
All right, Dean had a bunch of guns, and the father went. It was like a dowry. It was like when my daughter gets married, I'm going to drop off a small arsenal at the guy's house. By the way, he's never touched a gun, doesn't own a gun safe, and kept him in a fucking hefty bag in his closet for a week until eventually I said, "Hey, shouldn't we have a safe for all these guns?" And then, yeah. Why not? So we got a safe for all of them. But she has a little .22 revolver, which really seems like a cap gun when you get used to firing the 9mm and the .45s and all that kind of stuff. But it's nice. Doesn't have like a big recoil, and it feels kind of good in your hand and everything. She fired everything, including the Tommy gun, the Thompson submachine gun, which is basically – that's what the gangsters would use in all those all the movies from the 30s, you know, swinging off the back of the Fords, firing, you know, that's the Thompson submachine. I think they used them in World War II, too.
That was a 45, wasn't it, basically?
Yeah, I think it was back then. All right, Hood, 1,418 souls in, three.
Whoa. Wow.
Three out. That would be a weird conversation to have at dinner the night before. Hey, got some bad news. Listen up, everybody. I don't know who it is, but there's a group of 14. Okay, everyone's here? 1,400 plus of us are going in the water tomorrow. Three are getting out.
Oh, God.
And I got to wonder what those three dudes. What do you think those three did with their lives?
Yeah.
I mean, did they feel like there was any sense of urgency to do anything? Do you know what I mean? These are guys you lived on a boat with for months and years, maybe. And that had to be the weirdest thing ever, because you'd just be bobbing in the water in the Atlantic somewhere.
It was too cold, right? That was probably the thing.
No, the thing had, I do believe, the Bismarck hit it, and it went right through the top of the deck, and the English stuff was light. They had like wooden decks and stuff. Yeah, went yeah. right into the right where
so
they.
So it just went all down.
They hit the explosives magazine, oh, and the whole thing just went up, and it just went down like right. immediately, and there was no like knights of guys dying in the water. I think it got hit, and 3.5 minutes later, three guys were floating in the water. Which has got to just be the most insane thing in the world, because you just stand there in a boat, and the
it's
next thing you know, you're in the water with three dudes.
You would have to, you would know that you should feel so lucky and so fortunate, but I bet you'd just feel vexed the rest of your life that you survived.
I don't think I would have felt that way. I think I would have been so happy to.
I would have been like, I'm sure that if I were one of the survivors, and I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be.
But
I
know with this. Your luck?
Yeah, my grandmother pointed this out to me many years ago. Like she said to me many years ago, she said, you know, in the nursing homes, these guys, they get a ton of tail because there's one guy, yeah. one guy for every like 20 yeah. women left in those old nursing homes. And those guys are just, you know, roosters out there making the scene. And I said, well, at least I got something to look forward to in my old age. And she said, what makes that think it's going to be you? I was like, thanks, bitch. Wow. So you're saying I'm just going to be one of the guys. I mean, statistically, she's probably right. But she could have given a little love to her grandson, right?
Yeah.
Something to look forward to. But I'm sure that if I were one of the guys, I'd pop up and one of the two guys I'd think was a douchebag. Like I probably got in an argument yeah. with on the in the Chow right. line a couple days
Signalman
earlier.
Ted Briggs, that's
yeah,
the
like
one.
Oh, God, Ted's such an asshole. Really?
Why him?
Every fucking everyone else in the engine room, I like this one fucking guy. You know, I'm a Brooklyn Dodgers fan. He's a fucking Baltimore fan. God damn it!
Ooh, look, Abel Seaman.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't
his
name.
This was not his name. Well, I got excited because you were saying no one's named Abel.
That's right. I did say that.
But
today. No one's
wasn't
named Abel.
Abel Seaman.
All named Kane. By the way, Indianapolis, 880 survived. 880 survived. Sinking only took 317 survived after it. What? Oh, 880 went to the water, and then 317 survived after that. A total crew of about 1,200. So,
but the rest went to sharks.
Picture that with Robert Shaw. Well, you could imagine being in the middle of the ocean at night and no rescue planes, nobody's looking for you, and then you realize, oh, you're going to float in the ocean for a week before somebody puts the word out that you're in the ocean. All right, we will – why don't we take ourselves a quick break? Henner's not here, so we can get Horian in
yeah,
here.
Yeah, bring Horian in.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break. Ed O'Neill here. We'll do that after that.
And that was Ed O'Neill, Rory and Gracie back in 2013. All right, now let's go with our final clip of the day. It's a continuation of the 2018 ACE Awards, and we heard half of it yesterday. Let's hear the next part.
It's Adam Carolla Show, 2479, Junior Grand Brian Bishop. This is December of 2018, ACE Awards 2018, Chopped and Screwed, Part 2. Thankfully, there's no Part 3. Actually, you know what? That'd be better. I wish there was a Part 3. But until then, enjoy all of this.
At a private ceremony held earlier this month, the NCAA, the National Conference of Athletic ACE Awards, gave out honors in the following sports categories. Best Corner Man and Corner Woman.
Oh my God, 52 degrees, get him out, get him out. Give him his towel. Get his towel, Red. For him. No, you guys. Seriously.
Most dominant victory. Leaving Gina Grad with the silver at 21.
Take
and
your time.
Brian's
slow,
final
slow
score.
Down.
Oh, he's going to become so more incorrigible. Minus 16.
Oh,
the new record for the Rotten Tomatoes game. Congratulations.
Wow.
Most surprising victory, leaving us with the one and only Dennis Miller. at 49. Woo! Congratulations, oh Dennis Miller. You have won the Rotten Tomatoes game.
Dennis, if you die in your sleep tonight, you could die in peace. No one else will give a shit about this. But you.
I'm in tears. I feel like I've won the National Spelling Bee. I'm crying over here.
Best prank by a mixed martial artist.
Chell, always good to talk to you, my friend.
Hey, Adam, I got to ask you something before you go.
Yeah.
What's handsome, charming, and disappears without notice?
Smiling Sam Alvey. Are you there?
Oh, I get it.
Oh, God.
Oh, he's good.
Damn you.
Man, he's good.
He's good.
Best validation by an NFL analyst.
The greatest guy I ever seen catch the ball in my life was Chris Carter. Chris Carter could catch it. It was remarkable. But Jerry Porter was close to Chris Carter in terms of eye-hand coordination.
Wow. So was Porter's work ethic good, mediocre, or poor?
Okay, so when we evaluate players in college for the pros, work ethic and competitiveness are two different areas. So if a guy scores high on competitiveness but low on work ethic, you can make him better. But if a guy scores high on hard work and low on competitiveness, you got no chance. Mm-hmm. And I would say Jerry was short on competitiveness and moderate on hard work.
I love being right. I've never been right, or have I ever been goddamn right in my goddamn life, Max Apatis. This is exactly what I'm saying.
Most pathetic childhood sports story.
The one gimme that would at least seemed like a gimme was the School of the Deaf was looming there out of Quad A. And so we go into the gym, and it was eerie because it's freshman basketball, so who cares to come out as a student body and watch you play, except that for the School of the Deaf, apparently, this was a big deal. And so the entire student body comes out to watch, and it has those, you know, those typical pull-out-the-bleachers, those wooden bleacher kind of things that pull in. And so we come out onto the floor to a packed gym. This spooks us to begin with because we're not used to playing in front of people, except that it's especially eerie because in spite of all the people, it's dead silent. Obviously.
Right.
Then, right before the game, they start with their claps and stuff, and they start making claps in unison, and the officials tell us, hey, now, when the whistle blows, they can't hear it, so stop them, so you're giving all the hand signals, all those kind of things. A couple minutes into the game, my pal Ben Lawski gets fouled. He goes, he's about to go up to the stripe. You know, he goes up there, and in unison, the entire gymnasium just starts going... with their feet on those wooden bleachers, and as he picks the ball up to shoot it, they all at one time just go like that, and it was the freak. I'm not making fun. That's what the sound was. It was the freakiest sound. It was. It haunts me to this day. Now Ben Lawski missed the free throw, and he comes over. You know, after he's like, "Sorry," I'm like, "I don't know how you got it halfway to the rim." I would have peed. There would have been pee running down my leg when I heard that sound. We beat them ultimately by 7 points.
I hope they learned a lesson.
We beat them by seven and celebrated in the locker room like we had just won the NBA Finals.
Most regretted NFL prediction.
And I believe you need your lock.
Yes, sir.
Let's go with the Vikings. It's the obvious one. They're 17-point chalk versus the god-awful Bills. If the Bills win outright, I'll eat my flip-flop.
Wow.
Last time we talked to you, you said if the Bills beat the Vikings, you'd eat your own flip-flop.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
I can get my dog to eat it for you if you like.
Yeah,
we have an assortment of hot sauces.
I put in a Vitamix and then liquefied it, but it didn't look very good, so I kind of copped out on that one.
Whitest golf moment.
I'll take my two-stroke penalty, and I'll get in from here. And that's what he did. So the argument is out there right now. And you know, always a couple days later, people have time to process it. So now, all of a sudden, everybody's up in arms and frustrated by it. So
put this in a chapter of my coffee table book. What black people think white people talk about all day. Believe me, he knew what he was doing with his two-stroke.
Two-stroke penalty? Not enough, I say. Not enough.
Yeah, look, I got my PGA rule book in the glove box of my car. I'll go out, and you're going to have some egg on your face when I'm done reading.
It's so funny you say that. I have a PGA rule book in the glove box of my car.
Prove it.
All right.
Prove it.
I'll go out
there. Really? You're going
to
go get it?
I can.
I'll do a live read. You go get it. I got to see this. He's got his rule book.
Folks, it's right here.
These are all the rules.
He
really does. It's laminated.
If you're talking about a lateral hazard or a water hazard, or if there's a obstruction in your way, or whatever you need, folks, I got it right here.
Over under, let's all write down a number. How many black men would I have to pull over and check their glove box before I got to one PGA rule book?
Okay.
I have 5.7 million.
Wow.
It looks like an eighth that's fallen over, but that's an infinity sign. You will be pulling over people forever, and you will not find
one. I feel the first one I get is a racist white cop who plants it in the glove box.
What's this? What we got here?
Sportscaster of the Year.
Hello again, everybody. Chet Waterhouse with the Waterhouse Update, brought to you by Ballipsticks, the ammo for women. Road to the Super Bowl, AFC New England Patriots officially pass I Love Lucy for most endings that are exactly the same. Tom Brady, who had quadruple bypass surgery Thursday, threw for 290 yards and two TDs, both to Danny Amendola, who's better looking than Brady. Jags looked good for three quarters and then turned into a Dutch family who accidentally wandered into the South Bronx. NFC Philly crushes Minnesota like a sea otter splitting oysters on his chest to impress a chick. Vikings offense did their impersonation of a tourist in Jamaica, Adam. They stayed in their room. Vikings D was like me with my DVR. No idea how to stop it. That wrap-up brought to you by Airbnb. It's not an app. It's just a crowbar.
Love that guy.
Good year in sports.
Yeah.
you realize how much good stuff. Hey, it's so weird because everything is just so fast and so forward. You look back and you don't spend a lot of time looking back into the rearview mirror. And I'm always like, who's the best interviewer? What song are they? Don't even talk. It's weird for a guy who some people think has a photographic memory. I have no memory for stuff that just sort of happened. I have stuff for like... I could sing you the Stratego theme song from 1976. Stratego. I remember all that stuff. I don't really remember what happened 2 days ago.
You remember the important stuff.
Sure, that's right.
It's that, and I pointed out before, like, you know, driving home from the show, I called Chris. You're like, how's the show? Anything funny happened on the show?
I have no idea.
I have no idea. You're not memory-making mode. You know what
well,
I mean?
You're in the moment. Yeah.
In the moment. All right. This half of the show brought to you by MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. LifeLock at LifeLock.com and enter Adam and Geico at Geico.com. Song of the Year, number 4, is next.
Our fourth nominee for Song of the Year, Point Shitting.
Shitting, shitting, shitting. Point shitting, shitting, shitting. Point shitting, shitting, shitting. Point shitting, shitting, shitting. Ball bright. Shitting, shitting on Adam's points, he's shitting. Keep on disagreeing, Bob Bryan. Every day on the podcast, bullshit you broadcast, pulling opinions out your ass. All his points you're missing, and on his rant you're pissing. Please go back to improv class. Shut him down.
Contradict. Shut him down.
Shut him down.
Contradict.
Bob Bryan. Cancel out.
Disagree.
Disagree.
Cancel out.
Cancel out. Disagree, Bob Bryan.
Now I want that one so bad.
They're all accurate.
I love it.
All right, we roll right into outstanding achievement and shitting on a point.
Ooh.
The nominees for Outstanding Achievement in Shitting on a Point are Dave from Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Dave from Pittsburgh.
You got it. Keep up the good work.
Hey, Permanente's overrated.
I'm going there tonight because I have people
on the
show. There you go.
That's a Bob Bryan level shitting right there, man.
Wow.
Brian, Gina, and Chris.
Look, if you're going to make something that's a little off the beaten path, or your version, or your whatever, please have that conversation with the person who is sitting down and ordering, because I'm simply ordering corned beef hash that I picture when you open an encyclopedia and there's a picture of corned beef hash. That is my corned beef hash. And a lot of people have been telling me about hash browns and adding onions and adding cheese and Waffle House, and I'm all about it. I'm all about it. I appreciate it. But as I've stated, I love the hash browns. And this place does, and I'm happy for this, they do the hash browns, and they do like the country potatoes, and they do the whatever these
are. The
they put some chick name in front of it, and that's her thing or something. But they do the different ones. And we all appreciate the fact that we all want the hash browns with the breakfast. If you'd like to do the purple cube tomatoes with the pieces of bell pepper, that's fine. I'm not going to stop you. I'm never going to order that, but that's fine. You may have that option. First, we need the traditional hash browns, and then go sick with the potatoes that I'll never order. So I say to the guy, I love the idea of this,
hash browns?
No, the
other potatoes.
Gravy? Oh, the purple potatoes. The country potatoes.
No, the other thing I was talking about.
The
biscuits and gravy.
Go ahead, Max.
The hit list.
No.
Jesus. What's happening?
What did I start off talking about?
Brunch.
All right, then I segued into
the place you like. Sonny got the biscuits and gravy. You're reaching over for
it. And you like that all the people tell you the suggestions.
And then I ordered corned beef and hash.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about.
That one thing you briefly mentioned is the thing that none of us can guess?
Yeah.
How dare you not read your mind for that one brief thing you mentioned?
Well, what's he going?
2 minutes of goddamn potatoes and biscuits.
Well, yeah, but I remember potatoes and biscuits because I was talking about it. Corned beef and hash. One of you should have come up with that if you were listening correctly.
I'm with Brian in his outrage.
We just recounted the entire conversation, yet we weren't listening correctly.
Rooster McConaughey and Butch.
I need the Chinese food takeout containers. I need them to be labeled. I want the rice to be a different color. I can't tell you how many times I have the Chinese food and it's 2 days later and I'm opening in the fridge and it's different. And I pop everyone open, like I shake them. Like, which one? I had two containers. My kids said they finished everything. I thought it was pork fried rice and a white rice. Turned out to be kung pao shrimp. And so I was staring at it like, can at least we just have the green one for the rice? That just calls the rice out, where you know, where you can open the fridge and go, I have this much dinner and this much rice. Because sometimes there's too much rice and you think you've got a dinner left, but you don't have a dinner left because someone ate all the protein.
It's traumatizing.
It's traumatizing.
And I thought we had problems.
Oh, good. My God.
I'm not going to bring up any of that.
But why would
rice
you...
rice containers.
Why would you give all the...
Unmarked
rice containers.
Have a... stifle your mockery.
They are not taking you seriously.
Stifle your mockery.
Man, oh man.
Can't we have... How about a little...
I can't take this no more.
How about a clear viewing window? How about a viewing window? How about a clear porthole in the side of the thing so I can tell how much was left?
Have you thought about using a marking the damn thing when you get home? Would that be, you know, maybe put it on there?
Humanity.
You won't mess him up so bad in the middle. Oh, my God.
I'm not used to this kind of pushback, are you?
Paul Rodriguez.
I want to get the taco rankings.
All right.
Here are the rules. Taco rules.
All right.
Okay. It's going to be chicken.
Right.
Or it's going to be pork.
Right.
Or it's going to be steak beef.
Right.
All right. Those are the three meats.
Right.
And I'm going on a taco run. What can we put you down for? So we can't factor in all the where you're going or it's going to be too dry or whatever it is. Just, I'm going to Paquito Mas, probably eaten there a few times.
Well, yeah, I have.
And I'm getting tacos. I'm getting soft tacos for the crew. What can I put you down for? And we'll do it in order.
I go for the chicken, you know? Absolutely.
Oh,
sweet vindication.
Yes.
Oh, shut up, Brian.
We're all on the same page.
And Bob from Corona.
I want to do a thing with my kids. I've told you guys where I take them to the Home Depot and I find everyone who works there that's under or over the age of 65 and I just go, what went wrong? And then, you know, like, when's your lunch break? And they go, we get 35 minutes. And I go, all right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to buy you a sandwich, and I'm going to give you $100. Sit down and tell my kids what went wrong. Bob, you're 53. You're living in Corona. You're selling wooden dice for $5.
Large wooden dice.
What went wrong?
I was in an accident, and I got disabled.
I knew it would be something, maybe.
Brian, please.
Instead of just sitting on my butt, I go to yard sales, stuff that people, the end of the yard sale, and they throw everything to the curb. So you look at it, and you find things. You find things that are unbelievably, why did they throw it out?
I was hoping treasures. For lazy.
I aspire to this level of point shitting. This is the greatest point shitting of all time.
Brian, What's wrong with your greatest point shitting days.
What's wrong with you,
you
Bob?
You could never rise to this level.
This is a tragic accident. This is the
I'm not done. I still he still needs more vetting.
Oh, so good.
I stand by that in theory.
So good.
There's a lot of like, oh, let's let the fire captain come to the school and talk to the kids. Right. But they could get much more out of talking to the Home Depot employee who's 71, who's making $11 an hour.
The vast majority of people in that position, you would ask what went wrong, would tell you what went wrong. Yeah. And yes. Wouldn't
this
end up
is
like
the
that.
Exception that proves the rule.
All right. Outstanding achievement and shitting on a point goes to Bob.
He earned it, fair and square.
He did. He did.
I didn't think anyone was going to beat Butch and Rooster.
I forgot
those
about
two.
That. I also stand by my Chinese food containers.
That's good.
I want to know. We've all been burned by the weight. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What it is
dense.
You love the beef and broccoli or the shrimp or whatever. So you eat it all, and then there's the whole rice in there. And 2 days later, you reach for it, and you go, ooh, I got a lot of beef and broccoli hanging out. Nothing.
Nothing.
That almost right. made it into best invention. But
the window.
With Butch and Rooster, they had to go into shitting on a point.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Yeah. Best reoccurring guest.
The nominees for best recurring guest are AJ Benza.
I just don't agree to pay $19 for a sandwich before I get on the fucking airplane.
So instead of walking by.
But I don't steal sandwiches, but I will definitely. I've been known, first of all. Listen, I always steal shallots at Ralph's because they're too expensive. And I like a shallot in my meal once in a while.
I hope you do hard times with a guy who was in there for arson and double homicide. I'm going to give her shallots.
No.
What's that code
better
for?
Than shallots, saffron.
Saffron's
I like
very
to make
expensive.
Papaya twice a year, and that's more than fucking gold pound for pound saffron.
All right,
pinoli nuts is another thing. Give me a break. It's a pinoli nut. Why is it $13 for a bag 3x3 inches? Fuck
no,
off.
It's 80 cents.
That's
these
a racket.
Are all things that I buy regularly, so I'm going to listen
you
to you.
Watch
AJ.
Me. Get some cargo shorts.
When you're
fine.
Jay Moore.
Coach Tony Bennett.
Hello, Adam Carolla. How are you, sir?
Yeah, sorry about the big loss.
When you're alone. Who cares for a moonlit sky?
It sounds like he's taking it all right, honestly.
It's got
to
be...
I'm not taking it all right, Brian. I would love to know who the hell is Lyle and who didn't put a body. I'm brokenhearted because these are good young men. They're all 26 years old. And, hey, we lost to a better team, and that, of course, is the University of Maryland, Baltimore country.
I think it's county. Either way.
Say what now, Adam Carolla? You say either. I say Adam.
Oh, my.
I don't say Eartha. Oh, my goodness.
So,
Tony. You know, they were a 16 seed, and we were a 1 seed. When you lose by 15, that's witchcraft.
Oh, man.
Rob Riggle.
Yeah, Jake and the... Man, right?
Yeah.
That was a show.
Yeah
William Conrad.
Yes.
That would have been a great pitch to him, who was probably fat, but also had a big, big ego. Hey, yeah, Marty, your agent. Yeah, what do we got? Jake the Fat Man. Yeah,
don't worry about the title. Don't worry about the title.
Right?
Don't
worry about it. I could play a guy named Jake. Who are we getting to play the fat guy?
Well, hold on now. Let me backpedal a little
bit.
All
right? Go ahead.
They got a great actor for Jake.
Jake.
Jake. So who's playing fat guy?
Well, listen, right now, they're looking at you. And I said, hey, what does that mean, guy? And they were like, no, it's not about... Anyway, bottom line. I'm just going to bottom line it for you. Mm-hmm. This is a dynamite opportunity. All right, so forget the title. Mm-hmm. Forget the name. Mm-hmm. Just know that we're talking Emmys and money.
All right, so what you're saying, and like one of my favorite movies that just came out last summer, Smoking the Bandit.
Sure.
Jerry Reed played the snowman.
Yes.
But it wasn't really a snowman.
That's you're reading. It's like you're reading my mind, man.
So you're saying I played a fat man.
I'm saying
but
you're
I'm not
be,
really a fat man.
Exactly.
Hold on, I can't hear while I'm chewing. My ear's closed.
That's okay.
Let me put
you've
this
got some
six
sauce.
Down.
You got a little sauce, right?
How can you tell on the phone? I guess you're just playing on.
I can hear it in the. I can hear it in the. It's rubbing on the receiver.
Down. Yeah. All right. So what were we saying?
Anyway, but yes, I'm saying that you.
Then
you
want me to put some weight on. Vision.
If you don't mind, it could really help. It could really help what they're going for.
Well, I would describe myself as rotund now, but not obese.
Of course, that's how I describe you to everybody. I describe you as husky, but yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Mm. And listen, here's the good news.
Yeah,
I checked. I checked the pilot and I checked the script Bible. There's not going to be any running for you. Jake's going to do most of the footwork.
Kyle Dunnigan. Trump is a cancer on our democracy. He must be rejected by all patriots for the good of our national identity and values.
Ooh, that's not even an insult. Cancer's good. Spreads around, grows.
Mm-hmm. Brian, you have anything to say about that?
I mean, he's not wrong.
All right, what do you think, Gina?
Is it George Takei?
Oh, sorry.
Or Alyssa Milano?
Oh, boy. Okay, this is a tough one.
Now, Donald,
yeah.
If you were chivalrous, you would go second.
I'm going to go first.
Okay, you didn't let me finish, but all right.
Okay, go ahead.
Make your pick, and then Gina, with the smaller brain, will, by default, de facto,
right.
Get the other person.
Is this locker room talk?
No.
I'm a little confused.
All right, I'm just saying, you're allowed to pick, or you could be chivalrous.
I want to hear it one more time, once in Chinese, so I can get the Takei vibe, and once as a chick.
I think he's Japanese.
Yeah. Oh, come on, same thing.
Okay. One more time. Doing the Chinese
part. Chinese first, please.
First.
Come on. You know what they sound like with the ping pong and everything.
President Trump, please.
Yeah. He's Japanese. It's a different culture.
Right, that's what I said, Chinese. Chinese, Japanese, dirty knees. Come on, read the tweet.
And Joe Coy.
All right.
You know, I still remember the day my mom brought me McDonald's. Like, to this day, I still remember that.
Did she bring it to school?
She brought it to school.
Oh, my God.
I forgot my lunch, and she was on the way to work, and she brought it, and she was so pissed. She was so pissed.
What did she sound like?
Don't ever forget your lunch again. This is the last time. This is the last time.
So what did she sound like when she was ordering at McDonald's?
I'll take, let me see. What's in number one again? What is that?
That's large fry.
Uh-huh.
That's quarter pounder.
Oh, quarter pounder, which is a lot of
Well, it's
meat.
A quarter of a pound.
Is there a pound? Do you have a pound burger?
You get four quarter pounders.
Then that's four burgers?
That's a pound, though.
But I just want one pound.
Well, you know, like you have a quarter,
uh-huh,
and then four of them make a dollar.
Yes,
you could have four quarters that make a dollar.
Oh, but that's stupid.
But you can't have a dollar.
That's stupid.
You see what I'm saying?
I understand.
Oh, by the way, the quarter pounder,
uh-huh,
that's pre-cooked weight. Once we cook it, it gets lighter.
Well,
but
then
we're
that's
still
not bear.
Well, what is that?
I want
bear?
All of the. That's not bear.
It's not a bear.
No, pear.
It's not a pear.
Pear. It's not pear. Do you
not,
do you
not
speak
pear.
English?
No, just order either one.
No, I don't want two. I said that's not
You said you
pear.
Wanted a
I said
pear.
It's not pear to me.
We have a
You're
two
saying it's a
for one Big Mac.
Okay.
If you want a pear.
No, I don't.
Yes.
Do you have a happy meal?
Happy meal?
Happy meal. With the toy.
Happy meal?
You put the toy in the box and it's very happy. It makes me happy.
What box would this be? We have a
half.
We don't have a happy meal. Half-eaten meal?
Half-eaten meal. Half-eaten meal.
Well, I could search the garbage for a half-eaten meal, but most of our customers consume the whole meal.
Why would I want a half-eaten meal? I want a happy meal. The one that makes you smile.
Oh, happy meal. Happy meal. Yes,
stupid.
Yes.
You're dumb.
Yes. Is your son into Star Wars?
Oh, he loves Star Wars.
Okay. Because we're out of those. Best recurring.
Wow.
Yes. It strikes me that I say reoccurring instead of recurring.
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 Mm-hmm. Recurring.
I say reoccurring.
Brian's grandmother would kill you.
No, no, that's right. Either way, you'd be wrong.
Do other Americans join me in my screwing up and saying reoccurring?
I think reoccurring might be acceptable, but the word is recurring. You can say reoccurring.
You can?
Yeah,
I trust you. You know.
For sure.
All right. Who knows? Let's see. Kyle Dunnigan, everybody. Nice. Oh, right. I just love it.
He took the impression of the year and the recurring guest.
It's reoccurring. Your grandmother just texted me from hell.
Wow.
Yeah, I love doing it. I do that, by the way, Brian. I do that with people when you're not even around anymore. I'm just like Brian's grandmother.
Brian.
And I just spit it out there.
Brian's grandma says.
That's right.
That's good.
It's so sad that my grandma did the same thing. All right. Best musical moment, everybody.
The nominees for Best Improvised Musical Moment are Adam for getting wood in a yoga class.
Hold on, I think that's going
to yoga wood.
Hold on.
I wanted to stretch my bad back, so I did hot yoga. I had on cargo shorts and a t-shirt with some flip-flops. We went into an oven with a bunch of models who wore next to nothing. I got a down dog and started to sprout me some wood.
Biographical.
The bitch in the panties came by and told me my posture was not good. Sweat started to drip, and my cargo shorts started to rip. My boner was in full mass, no blood in my head, room starting to spin.
Adam, for grandma getting nostalgic for water-soluble lube.
The water lube couldn't let grandpa in without it on. Sing on, water lube, gonna embarrass the hell on my grandson. Water lube couldn't have stopped at the goddamn typewriter. Water lube, telling your boy so you'll kill yourself. Oh, and not whack it again, Waterloo. You'll never whack off at Ray's mom's apartment.
Adam and Paul Rugg for Dingo Boy theme.
When I then got to K-Rock, I said there's this bit from the Acme days, I told Jimmy, called Dingo Boy. It's like a funny, it's kind of a radio serial, really. Mm-hmm. It's really like a old-timey radio serial with a song that Paul wrote. I'm guessing you wrote it, right?
Raised by wild dingoes on the outback he lived in. No his human contact had he. Yes, dingoes were his kin. Dingoes taught him hunting, and dingoes taught him pride. Dingoes made him diapers out of gopher hide. He grew into adulthood. His memories drifted back. His human nature told him it's time to leave the pack. He searches every city, Melbourne, Sydney, and Perth, to find his parents' killers and put them in the earth. Run, run, dingo boy. Run, run, dingo boy. Dingo boy, oh. Run, run, dingo boy.
Now, I've not sung that in close to 30 years.
John Popper for improving T-Pain.
Okay. Finding which harmonica to use.
There's so many.
As long as 10,000 times a day. Take it over to my crib
and do that night thing. I'm in love with a stranger. You just switched harmonica.
Okay.
peace.
Adam, Milo Gibson, and Peter Facinelli for Steven Seagal Christmas Album.
This is Steven Seagal.
Oh.
He plays seated, remember that.
Oh, he's got some pipe.
This one's called Just for Men and You Too.
Does he have a Christmas album? That's what I want to
know. Oh, that's a very good question. We'll investigate.
That's interesting. All right.
Now, his song War leaves a little something to be desired.
My mistletoes.
It's in your orbital socket.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, bitch. Let me kick off my loafers and put my mistletoes into your orbital socket. Merry Christmas, bitch. Yeah.
I'd buy it.
Best.
Wow.
Well, there's a lot there. I wouldn't even thought about that category.
Waterloo.
Yeah.
I'm still singing that.
All right. Let's see. And the winner is Waterloo.
Yes! Oh. An instant classic.
Yeah, that was my grandmother telling me that everything in the house reminded her of Grandpa.
Waterloo.
And she started with his overcoat, then she went to his typewriter, then she went to the lube.
Yeah. Really drove it home.
You had me a typewriter, bitch.
I believed you.
I believe you. I get it. You live with the guy for 57 years. Things remind you.
Yeah.
Understood. All right. Rant of the year.
Penultimate rant of the year.
That's right. Number six. Here we go.
Our sixth nominee for rant of the year. Boys and ADHD.
So when the school teacher, the middle-aged broad, says to the boys, no football, it's too rough. We're not playing football. We can play four square and tetherball. And then you just sit in this hot classroom all day, and they go out of their goddamn minds. Out of their minds. It is torture to take an 11-year-old boy and go, you just sit there and don't make any noise for an hour. And then we can go out. No, no, no. Don't run.
Walk
don't run. No running.
The-
Walk it, walk it out. Walk it out there. Then we'll give you a choice. You can play soccer with a utility ball, but you cannot rough have. Football's too rough. Yeah. We can't have you women contact. That is torture to young guys. Now, because we've decided to have all the broads be in charge of all the schools and all the policies, and because Dumbo's like Dr. Drew said, the light, that's toward the right. That's toward the fallopian tunnel. Head to the light that's coming from the fallopian tunnel. We've all geared everything toward the more evolved way of doing. The more evolved way is everyone sit there, put your hands on your knees,
quietly.
Don't talk, don't touch, don't touch when you're invading his personal space. Biologically, that's what we're meant to do, and it is a form of torture to take young boys and tell them no roughhousing and no football, but guess who's in charge of that policy? It's not Dick Butkus. It's a bunch of goddamn housefrows who get to decide what young boys do, and thus it's torture for young boys. If you can't just sit there like an ice sculpture for an hour in the middle of the day, young 9-year-old boy, we'll give you some pills that'll help you. It's insane. Yeah. It's stupid. Wake up. The reason guys do that is because that's what we do. It's a stupid thing all the time. Like, how come young boys do this? And how come young girls have to? She has to play. She wants to play with the dolly. He wants to play with the dump truck. How come? How come? Because that's what we do, idiots. It is part of the fucking fucked up plan of taking both sexes and turning them
into the same lane.
Because then we have to just go, hey, Sonny, take some pills. You want to run around. Like Sonny says to me on a daily basis, I want to play football. They won't let us play football.
I just had this conversation with him yesterday on Fantasy BS. He's like, yeah, we get like a 10-minute break, but we have to sit in our seats. It's like, you don't get recess?
That's not a break.
Right. Okay. That's imagine, crazy. Hey, gals. Hey, young gals. You want to go do stuff. You can't. You can. You want to decorate stuff. You want to design stuff. You want dollies. You want to dress stuff. You want to design dresses for. No. 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 You can't do that.
I can't bedazzle.
No. Come over here. We're playing rugby.
Yep.
I hate it.
Fuck you. The idea Sorry.
Put the tampon down.
The notion that this even goes anywhere is insane to me. Of course my fucking son wants to play football. Of course. It's what he wants to do. Okay. Is he bad or is he a boy?
Like, he's bad and dangerous.
It's so fucking weird.
It's a menace to society.
All right. Sad. Ugh. Okay. Let's take a quick break.
Yes.
We have technical and creative aces.
At the Technical and Creative Arts Aces last month, honors were awarded in the following categories. Best Morning DJ.
There's a mattress. Looks like a mattress. Could be Box Spring and Lanes. Box Spring and Lanes. Mattress and Lanes. So slow and go. Look out for brake lights. We got a surf report coming in Santa Monica. We got intermittent swells coming in at between 3 and 5 feet. So if you're going to get out there and surf, you get out there. But remember, if you're going to take the 405, look out for brake lights. We got a mattress and lanes. And bring that wetsuit. 71 degrees. Checking in. Santa Monica, 71 degrees. Yorba Linda, 71 degrees. And Alhambra, 71 degrees. And Whittier, 72. Oh, it's typo. 71 degrees. So checking in. Everyone's checking in the weather. Drop trout. I can tell you, but I have to kill it. We're up against a break. We're up against the top of the hour. I'm up against death. I'm up against a casket. I'm in a loveless relationship. I never get to drop trout in front of my wife. She's seeing other women. Hopefully I'll die soon. I'll run out of air so I can just die and end this tragedy of life. Hey, your Melinda's checking in. 71 degrees. Alhambra, 71. Santa Monica, 71 degrees.
Best radio ramp up. And welcome back to the Toolbox, where we're filling up your stocking with the groove of light rocking. All this week, listen for your chance to play White Elephant. You can win fabulous prizes like a shrimp diviner, acne cream, nose hair trimmer, or a Barack Obama chia head. Right now, I'm serving up ambrosia. No, it's not Jell-O salad. It's a mellow ballad, because you're rocking inside the Toolbox.
There's a new sun arising.
Best intro joke and complisult to intro joke writer. And now, Brian's head got so big from his Rotten Tomatoes victory last week, his doctors thought the tumor was growing again. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, Lynch must have had a day off. It probably took a, what is it, a snow day? What month is it over there?
Oh, God.
This is how I find out.
That's so good.
That kind of intro means Lynch had some time. Lyrics from a Cars song. Yeah.
He's juggling.
BNC was working three jobs.
Yeah. And now, he's just what you needed.
Most ironic correction.
The debates did well, you know. One would argue probably because of the Trump factor.
Sure.
Right? Uh-huh. Do you think that
absolutely,
with those
absolutely
16 other candidates that people wanted to hear what Marco Rubio thought about immigration or, you know, what George Bush thought about, you know, education or early childhood education?
Bush, I mean, right?
Yeah.
Jeb. Sorry.
Well, oh, you said George.
I said George. Sorry, Jeb.
Yeah,
Jeb.
Sorry. That'll be the last time I am cruel and fresh.
Thank you.
Any politician.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that.
Base award moment.
Best non-answer by a non-August.
Shall I go first or shall I go last?
Sure.
All right, I'll go first.
Sure.
Thanks, August.
Yeah.
He's in an element, man.
I'm so psyched for the actual competition.
Mike's seen green about now.
Best vitriol by a non-Corolla.
We all get it on Twitter. Like we all get our pound of flesh taken and handed back to us. When I, oh God, I mistakenly identified the fat guy, Chris Farley. He wasn't the voice of Donkey. He was the voice of Shrek. Oh, it was a holiday on Twitter. Bob Ryan was wrong. Holy shit, it was a holiday for losers. Enjoy it, dorks. It doesn't happen very often. No wonder it was such a great day for you.
Oh, wow.
Best tweet reading by a female.
I shit you not. There is a peacock in my front yard. What do I do?
best tweet reading by a male.
Yeah, your mom got me a doorman job at her whorehouse. Hashtag Instablock.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew, The Last Word! Exotic fish! A piece of fried chicken! A hockey stick! A sleeping duck! His glass eye! A folding chair! A Dunkin' Donuts! Hooters! Chicken feed! Chick-fil-A! A Big Mouth Billy Bass! A 20-gauge shotgun! A can of corned beef! A pot of meatballs! A Mormon! The neighbor's mailbox! Her pet lizard! A seafood wholesaler! Shannon! Tracy Morgan! Motor oil! Quarter pounder and fries! Pizza rolls! Utility pole! Socks! A snowmobile! Manhole covers! An 8-foot deep badger hole! Thank you, Alcoa, for another year of sponsorship. Stay tuned in 2019 for more Definitely Not a Jew!
Oh, wow. I love it.
Quietly my favorite Ace Awards moment. Yeah.
Me too.
I'm laughing his ass off.
So good.
All right, moving into most uncomfortable moment, which is always uncomfortable because we never know what those moments are.
We shut them out. There's an enzyme in our brains that blocks them out.
All right, so most uncomfortable moment.
Wow.
Here we go.
The nominees for most uncomfortable moment are Adam and Dawson.
I drink, like, the big quarts of Naked Juice Green Machines.
Yeah.
Drink about one of those a day.
Yeah, Vinny would tell you that's probably a ton of sugar.
No, there's no sugar. It's all fruit juice. I mean, it's all vegetables juice.
Where do you work? Oh, it's all vegetable?
Yeah.
But it tastes good.
No, it tastes like pineapple juice. Well, you can look it up. It's all natural juice.
Hold on. I do talk about pineapple juice as an example.
Dawson's 100% right. It is 100% juice, yeah. But it is
pineapple tropical masks sugars the flavor up. Of everything else. There's broccoli in this thing.
No.
Essentially.
But Dawson, you do understand when I say it's got the tropical juice or it's got the fruit juice in it, and then you go, no, it's all vegetable. The pineapple masks the flavor. When I'm talking about fruit juice, I'm including pineapple in my
I understand
discussion.
That.
It tastes good.
Regular sugar from the fruit in there. There's no added sugar. It's 100% natural juice is what I'm saying.
Have you ever been here when Vinny's here talking about drinking orange juice and how you should just drink a Pepsi because it's the same as...
I believe shitting on the point is my domain. 32 grams of added sugar, 53 Ooh. Grams overall.
Okay.
This is just for an 8-ounce serving, so it's a small serving. An 8-ounce serving of Coke has 26 grams of sugar.
Oof.
An 8-ounce serving of Green Machine by Naked Juice has 28 grams of sugar.
Well, I've weighed 185 for the last 25 years, so I'm all right.
Dawson, I've never been righter in my life.
What are you right about?
Huh?
Tell me what you're right about.
Do you know the topic of this discussion?
Yeah, that I have a great metabolism and I'm awesome.
Yes, you don't gain weight.
Right.
Now, at the beginning, you were drinking fresh-pressed broccoli, and that wouldn't gain weight. But now that we figured out that it has more sugar in it than a Coke, now we're back to me being right. That's what I'm saying. So I've never been more right in my life because this.
Sugar is one thing, but I mean, there's no broccoli in Coke. Adam, Mark Garagus, and Bald Brian.
If you were to give the first accuser a number of 1 to 10, 10 being a lead pipe cinch, gold, as a person who does this for a living, a person you'd uncovered or found in your camp, 10 is the best, 1 is a DA reject, or 1 is probably not great. In your opinion, what would you give the first accuser?
2 until I see her, and if we top off the show on Friday, I'll reassess.
All right, second accuser.
Second accuser. That's beyond a nothing burger. That one offends me.
And number 3, the latest Avenatti
client. I give it a 7.
Is it any wonder that they go unreported? Because the girl said, the woman says, oh, I was assaulted, blah, blah, blah. And here we are giving scores to her story.
Yes.
Scoring. I give it. She said she was molested. She was raped. I give it a 2.
It's a good point, Brian. And you know, there
is
was.
That's so distasteful.
No, I
know what you're doing. I know what Garagus is doing, and I understand intellectually, but it's so distasteful.
Well.
You're absolutely right. It's like eating your tail.
This it feels gross.
Adam and Chris.
How tall are those cement barriers?
Find out now.
Uh-oh. 32 inches?
Yeah.
Why'd you tell me 42 inches?
There are two versions of them. So they make two versions of these barriers, and they have the shorter ones.
All right, so I said it was 32 inches.
Yeah.
And then you wrote me a note that said they're called Jersey barriers, and they're 42 inches.
And then
I shook my head and said no.
Oh, boy. Right.
That did happen.
Okay, so how do I know?
Look, there are two versions of this.
All right, Jack.
Now, I got to tell you, things look pretty slow right here, but I think it's going to pick up.
Now, how insane am I with my eyeballs? Because I've never measured them. I just know they're not 42 inches.
Yeah.
Are most? But how come everyone I've seen is 32, and I don't know the 42 version?
The other variation of the 42 variation one is called the Ontario Tall Wall.
This is great.
Tall Wall?
Yeah, but there's...
it's got the word tall in it, Mac.
Yeah, but there are two versions of them. They're still...
What if I just accepted your 42-inch version?
I don't know how we're going to top this.
I don't know. My life would have been a lot easier after the show.
All right, Max Brown. You know what to do next time? Do 32-inch, and let's see if I can't be made wrong.
32 is the typical size.
Typical.
Yeah.
All right, but you gave me the atypical.
Which makes me wrong.
Yes. Okay.
Time has passed.
I didn't fight you on it when you shook your head. I went back in.
Well, I should have never shook my head because you looked up the height of those barriers and said 42, and any other person would have went, I guess they're 42, because you have the computer. I'm just sitting here.
You hear this every other podcast? This is why we're number one.
Adam and Rob Schneider.
When I found out that Rob was coming on, and I heard about a little dust-up he got into with Alec Baldwin, or at least an exchange about Baldwin's Trump, and there's a lot of that going around these days, coming off the White House correspondence dinner and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I reached out to Baldwin, and he had a couple thoughts.
All I'm saying is this, is that if you know, a comedy requires surprise, as you know this clearly.
Yes.
And if you do know the guy's political leanings, I mean, then it's like, it takes away some of the potentiality of the surprise. And you know, when you know a guy really hates him and you see the hatred seething through, it does affect it. And I love Alec Baldwin.
So I reached out to Baldwin, and he's not a fan.
Quiet.
He doesn't want to talk to you.
I know. He's pissed off.
He's pissed. So on a happy note, he said he'd love to talk to me, but just not with you.
I still love you, Alec. I don't care.
All right. Mm-hmm. Not a fan.
So what did he say? You said not a fan, doesn't want to talk to me?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. He said he could probably teach you a little about business as well, but not sure where that came from. But
about show business?
Sideways shot?
Yeah. I don't... I'll respect his privacy. All right, he didn't call you a douchebag. He just said kind of not a fan.
Larry Miller, and Gina Grad.
Ah! Why do you think I was a nude model when I was 19?
Not what? Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
I,
all through college.
Mm-hmm.
I have murals. They're awesome.
Show us a picture of one of those murals.
I'll get one.
It's on the side of the KU basketball arena.
Hold on a second. Really?
Yeah. For my birthday, one of the classes gave me all of their murals, and I think I have a picture of one of them. It might be in my car.
But go look.
This car?
Because I showed it to somebody else. I don't remember why. I'll get it.
You know, we're talking in the dark here. We don't know what we're saying.
That's true.
We need to see them.
You know, I think you're right.
And then decide.
Out in the car, you say?
It might. Well, you want me to go look?
Yes, I do. Larry, take over the news.
We're in the middle of news.
Well, I'll try and bring it tomorrow. I'll see if I can find
I'm looking at Larry Miller right now. I've never seen him more focused and more tapped into this show. Yeah, I've been looking at his face, and I've never seen this kind of genuine concern for his subject matter.
Yeah.
Never mind them. Don't listen to them.
Okay.
Show me.
Yeah, I think you've earned it.
This better get an ACE Award nomination for Most Uncomfortable Moment.
I've never seen Larry so dialed in. You know when they talk about that pitcher who's throwing a no-hitter? It's like he's in a zone. Yeah.
You don't talk to him.
Larry's at the end of the bench. No one's talking to him.
Hop over the stripe on the way back to the dugout, Larry. Do not jinx it.
I may not sleep for a month because I'm going to be that focused.
Mm. Yeah.
On helping my friend.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. By seeing her nude body.
I completely concur.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Oh,
all right.
Scared.
Who knows? Most uncomfortable moment. Larry and Gina, everybody. Gina, I'm going to give this to you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank Larry. I'd like to thank the KU Art Department. I have so many people to thank.
All right.
Wow.
So we have the winner for Song of the Year. We first have Song 5, and then we'll announce the winner for Song of the Year.
Our fifth nominee for Song of the Year, Gina's Drops.
Oh. Gina, you talk too fucking much.
Yeah.
Smell your dick. Unrapeable. I have a really ugly voice, so people assume I'm super ugly. Pissy little cunt. L.A. face with an Oakland booty. Fuck you, you old cunt. Miss Bim Bim. Maybe they should change their name to Mall of Ragheadland. Nega, I assume. Would you like me to make banana cry?
I love black cock.
I didn't want to give you a BJ because I gave one to someone else earlier today. So what about Nambla? Yeah, I'm giving handjobs in the men's room. A Klansman am I. Yeah, I don't like seeing brown men with white women. That's just your garden variety Jew talk.
Sorry, I'm not home right now. I'm okay in this room. I believe a message. I don't call you back. I like these stupid people. Message. I don't call you back.
Well, Nazis are sexier than hippies. I'll have a hard-boiled egg and a soft-boiled clitoris. You will watch my micro-penis, whether you like it or not. Penis, Baba. If you can read this, the bitch fell off. If you can read this, the bitch fell off. If you can read this, the bitch fell off. Laganja Estranja, or Jiggly Caliente. El Gordo y la Flaca. Abrochado o Multado. Spicorama. Norris Hostfest. Nihao Kailan. Desmethyl Carbodenephil. Reasons, friends?
Don't care!
Would you like to see some nude photos of little girls? Ate pussy. I got a devil tattooed on one tit and an angel tattooed on another tit. I just don't swallow a lot. PCP and meth and Molly and alcohol and no sleep. Let's fuck on this. I'm going to stick my hand so far, my fist so far up your ass that you're going to have to... Fuck, never mind.
Not Brian Bishop!
So much.
I forgot about
choose
that.
From.
I'm such an asshole.
And the winner.
Oh.
Song of the Year is Language of Losers.
Well deserved.
It really is.
Simple and powerful.
So many good ones out there, but yeah. Language of Losers, super strong.
That was excellent.
All right. We have Best Drop.
Oh, the real awards.
My staff.
Oh, here we go.
Mm-hmm. We also have Guest of the Year and Rant of the Year still coming up, but let's do the drops, shall we?
The nominees for Best Drop by an ACS staff member are...
People hate you.
Here we go.
He's the lead guest?
Signed, Dylan Wren.
What it is, my brother?
And the winner.
People hate you.
Oh, Mike August.
Such a good drop.
I can use it. You know what I mean? I can use that drop in perpetuity.
Now, best drop by Dawson.
The nominees for best drop by Dawson are... I eat ass. Above average dong.
Nobody told me it was white boy day at the laundromat.
You're super pretty for a Jew.
He's wrong, you're wrong, and you're all propagating a lie.
What is going to replace Kodo and Podo?
I mean, we had some great ones thanks to the Gina Grad tournament, but the winner...
I eat ass.
Oh. It had to be.
As soon as I heard that, the heavens parted in a light, like I was in the Blues Brothers.
Best drop by guest.
The nominees for best drop by a guest are...
I love that guy called Gecko, though.
My lack!
I think you look like a fucking beast.
What a lucky dude I am.
So many good ones. But the winner in this category was pretty easy.
My lack!
So good.
Job for the win.
So good.
And last but not least, best drop by Gina Grad.
The nominees for best drop by Gina are...
Jeannie, you talk too fucking much. Abrochado o multado? The international Jew, the world's problem. Reasons? Major key alert.
There is. Oh, it's an upset.
Abrochado o multado. And I don't even know what that means.
Your pronunciations are the stuff of legends.
I don't know what it means either.
Giovanni, please tell us what that means.
Best drop by Adam.
Oh. Yes.
Is our last one.
The nominees for best drop by Adam are...
Shut that yiddy mouth. You must stop fucking up, or I will fire your ass. Once in a while, you got to put your hands on a bitch. Miyama or something, you know, K, something Miyama or something. I'm drinking, woman!
Well, it was a great year for drops.
Yeah,
but the winner... Drop of the year.
Shut that yiddy mouth.
Oh, congratulations to all the nominees.
Yeah.
They're all winners.
It's an honor.
All right. Guest of the year is coming.
The nominees for guest of the year are Tom Lennon.
I'll tell you the story, and you do it as James Baby Doll Dictor.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, okay. Of course.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to set you up. Which is...
I instantly put my hand in this shape
of
I'm holding a cigarette, even though I'm not holding a cigarette.
I said to him once, so did you talk to so-and-so, and what was their offer?
Uh-huh.
And he said, their offer was so insulting that I told them, I'm not even going to bring it to you as a client. Right. That's insulting to my client, and I won't even... dignified by bringing it to the client.
So now I'm going to insult you by telling you how it's
I said, okay, how much was it? And he said, I'm not going to tell
you. I can't tell
you. Like, he was true to himself.
That's a good line.
So we'll play that. Baby doll.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, did you talk? Yeah, talk to Animal.
I talked to him, but it's...
What are we talking about per episode?
It's
here,
disgusting. It's
what
disgusting.
Kind of money are we talking about?
Honestly, I hung up the phone. I threw it against the wall when I heard it.
But what was the number?
You're not going to like it.
Yeah, I get it.
You're not going to like it. I can't tell it to you because it would be belittling.
Well, what'd you tell them?
Because you're a lion. If entertainment is the Serengeti, you're a motherfucking lion, guy. And I told them that.
Napping in the tall grass.
You're napping in the tall grass.
I'm the kind of client who'd run at a great white and give him a back
get,
off.
Get that great white shark out of there. Mm-hmm. So I said, here's what I said. Mm. On behalf of me and my client, never call me again. Mm. Fuck off. Fuck yourself.
Uh-huh.
And then I broke the phone, so they could not
call me.
They can't
call me back.
I changed the number, so they can't call me back.
I like that part. Remember that time you told those guys at Sony I don't roll over in bed for less than $50,000?
Yeah, exactly. There is no telephone anymore. Mm-hmm. You are not reachable through me. Uh-huh. We have sent a very powerful message.
How much did they offer, though?
$1.5 million.
What?
But that's stupid. For you, that's not really money for you.
It is.
Judd Apatow.
I remember I went to this acupuncturist, this old Japanese woman, and we were just talking about fear of death. And she said, you know, Judd, the thing is, you're built to fear death. While you have a lot of energy and you're young and you want to do things and accomplish things, but you'll see as you get older, it starts to go away, and then by the end of your life, you're ready to let go, and you're built that way. Everyone is built that way. So on some level, you could say there's something specific about rich people, famous people, people who've had their dreams come true, who realize that what life is about, the joy of life, may not be that you hosted the Tonight Show. It may not be that you accomplished this. You might realize, like, oh, all those things I thought would make me happy, I'm one of the rare people who got to do them, and maybe it was more fun just hanging out with my friends. Maybe it was more fun playing with my kids or whatever. And so I think a lot of those guys have that crisis because they do have an experience that very few people have, which is, does your dreams coming true make you happy? And welding is hard, but as someone who used to wash dishes and bus tables and stuff, there was a great joy in washing dishes. There was a great mental freedom in not sitting home going, if I don't think of another good joke, this is all over. Like there's a mental stress in the arts that people don't understand, where I would just laugh my ass off all night long washing dishes. Like, here's the dish, clean it, put it back. I would just laugh. I'd sing Who songs all night long. And so I think it's a different experience a lot of people are having. And it's hard for people who do manual labor to understand the torture of wondering if you'll ever write a hit song again, and doubting yourself and hating yourself. I mean, all these bands, you're like, what? I'm sure, like, I always think about, like, REO Speedwagon. They're just going, like, why the fuck can't I write another hit song? And that is, that might be a worse feeling than just working hard every day and going home and having accomplished your thing. Mm-hmm. So I have compassion for everyone, and I think it's all interesting.
Katie Couric.
Adam, I'm doing something fun with your friend Jimmy. Because he's turning 50 or just turned 50.
Just turned, yes.
Just turned. So, there's something that you should do when you're 50.
To make the sure prostate you stay, thing.
No, not
sex
the
with the robot?
Thing.
Sex with
the
robot? Sex with the prostate robot?
Come on, work with me, Adam.
All right, I'm sorry. Dye your pubes?
Ew. Come on.
I don't know.
Everyone knows that's 45.
You're supposed to do when you're 50.
It has to do with your colon.
Oh, a colonoscopy.
Oh, colonoscopy. Yeah, sorry. My prostate thing was, I'm not a physician. Yeah. That's what
I'm talking about. The sex.
It's all the same.
So I'm gonna see if I can escort Jimmy to get a colonoscopy.
That's important.
Because colon cancer is the number 2 cancer killer of men and women in this country, but it's easily preventable if you get properly screened. Have you had a colonoscopy, Adam?
No. And I was thinking about it on the ride in, and I was thinking about
really?
You. And I am going, first off, I'm having Dr. Drew. My last time I saw Dr. Drew, I said, set it up. Like, talk to your guy. Like, whatever it is, give me a time. So, Dr. Drew.
On a very special Adam and Drew show.
Yeah, he's doing that. I was going to say.
So, you don't have a doctor?
No, I have Dr. Drew.
Seriously?
It's kind of weird, right?
That's ridiculous. You need a doctor.
He's a TV doctor.
That's insane. You need a doctor. Men are so weird. They don't get physicals. They don't take care of their health. They're insane.
No, yeah, you're right.
No, so seriously. Okay, how old are you, Adam?
I'm 53, so I told him two things.
Yeah,
Dr. Drew, set up a thing, and then I got to get Leslie Stahl to escort me because I need a high-end journalist. I mean, I'm just tearing a page out of your book. Who's going to escort me in to get this?
Obviously, and Barbara Walters was the first choice.
She's not as associated with assholes as I am.
Felipe Esparza.
How old were you when you had your first child?
I was 17, 18.
So you're in high school, basically. You have a child. You're living in the projects. You're stealing gloves for breakdancing. How do you figure to make it? How do you start making it toward comedy?
Oh, before that, I had no money when my girl got pregnant. I didn't know how to make money. I had no job skills. So I went to go ask my friend who I grew up with, some guy named, he's passed away already, Coco, Ronald Page, he passed away already. I went to him, and he was a Crip, and I walked up, I went to his house, and I knocked. Hey, listen, man, I have no money. Can you help me out? Can you give me anything to do? Like, if you have anything I could do for you. So he gave me like $100 worth of crack in a little bag. He goes, go sell that and come back. Well, anyways, my first time selling crack, I get robbed by gunpoint. Like, they robbed me. They beat me up. And I have to go back to his house and tell him, listen, man, no. I was so embarrassed.
Fool me once.
I went back and I said, listen, man, it's my first day of work. I don't know. I don't know that to wash my back. I don't know I'm supposed to go to strangers, so. I need some more crack. He said, forget that, cuz. We're going to go get them fools. So immediately he hands me a loaded pistol. Like, this is my first day selling crack. Within an hour, I'm already, like, holding a pistol. I'm wearing a blue rag, and we're both looking for those guys. And I said, I think it was those guys over there, but it was dark. I don't know who they were. He grabs one of the guys, and he gun slaps him, like, pistol whips him. And he points a gun at him, and he tells me, is this the guy? Tell me right now so I could just shoot him in the head. Is this the guy? And I was so scared, man. I think I peed on my pants. I think I pooped on myself or something. And I was shaking. I said, no, it wasn't him. But by the end of the night, they found out that we were looking for them. And they went to his house and they brought back the crack and they brought extra cash.
Wow.
They told us we're sorry and it never happened again.
That showed him.
Sweet of him.
Wow.
And Joel McHale.
If I try to take my wedding ring off to hit the heavy bag, throw some weights around, or bang a stray on the road.
What? You said bang a stray on the road?
I said hit a heavy bag.
Yeah, right.
I said adopt a stray.
Or I said throw some weights around.
Yeah.
What did you
That's
hear?
That's pretty much.
Then you said, I feel like, Gina, you heard it, bang a stray on the road?
No, I think
you're you must have mistook that with hit the heavy
fever,
bag.
Yeah.
It's hard to.
I just did the two.
Brian, did you hear him say bang a stray on the road?
I heard you say it.
Yeah,
I
you
heard
said you it say like three times. Yeah.
Why would I be.
Well, could you take it back? Because Lynette listens to the show.
It's a family show.
To Joel's wife, too.
No, I mean, did you guys hear it?
No.
They heard the heavy bag, right?
Heavy bag. Hit the throw heavy some bag. Weights around.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm gonna.
That's strangely specific, Joel.
So then, if you could just why don't we start over? Why don't we just start that over? Like, so when you
So whether I wanted to hit the double-ended bag,
right,
or do some bench press,
right,
or fuck a groupie, I realized that I needed to take the
you
ring
just said
off.
Fuck a groupie, right?
What
you just said it. That's weird.
That's very offensive.
I don't know what groupies are. It's a type of fish.
Why? Why would I?
I used a box.
I know. And
I hit a double.
The Hammer is one of my favorite romantic comedies ever.
I'm glad you like it. They have a double-ended bag.
Right.
You can work on your timing.
Okay.
With that, but you'd want to take your wedding ring off.
And if you wanted to lift weights, you can't wear the wedding ring.
Well, no, to pinch against the barbell.
Or.
You know what I mean? The belt. Right.
Or to what? Or to.
Heavy bag?
Heavy bag.
Weights. Dumbbell.
To take your to take your ring off you for other things such as
I don't
because I heard you say fuck a group. That's what I heard.
Ojo.
Strike two.
You got to worry about sometimes what you're thinking
out,
versus what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I feel I feel like you're thinking it.
I'll let you get. I'm so sorry. Okay, why don't you get through with your thought? So you have to take your wedding ring off to do.
A speed bag.
Right.
Sometimes even skip rope, plow a stranger.
Right.
So.
Okay, you just said plow a stranger. Is that part. You said plow a stranger. You heard it, right, Gina?
I said.
Hashtag me too. I don't like this language, and I'd like you to leave.
I said skip rope.
I didn't say it was non-consensual.
I gave you a lot of examples, Joel. I said skip rope.
Right.
I said speed bag.
Right.
I said double-ended bag. I said heavy bag.
Right.
I said barbell, and I said dumbbell. Now, if those aren't six enough examples for you, is why I have to take my wedding ring off, and why you have to stray into this world where...
I swear, you play this back...
You accuse me of banging Janine, a 31-year-old, thrice-divorced mother of three who I keep in an apartment in Seattle. When you come out with those kinds of accusations...
Wait, you just said 31-year-old mother of three who lives in Seattle, you have an apartment for her, her name is Janine, right?
I said dumbbell. I said heavy bag. I said speed bag. I don't even know how you know Janine.
You know this Janine, so you said Janine.
You're saying Janine.
Oh. I forgot about that one.
Oh, God, he's the best.
He was out of line. I'm sorry. Yeah. No, I know we all like Joel.
It'll be a travesty if he wins.
The winner. Guest of the year, 2018, Joel McHale, everybody. Oh, he's earned it.
After what he brought in here, that evil that he brought in here.
He earned it.
You're just as bad as he is if you think this is okay.
All right. And now, the seventh rant of the year.
Our seventh nominee for rant of the year, city government and building codes.
In the area that I live, where I'm attempting to build this house, it is lousy. Lousy with oak trees. If you would like to cut one down, you must ask permission of the government. I go down the street and I see that there's a couple of oak trees in the front of another property that's being worked on. And it has the stanchions, like the post put in the ground, has to be no more than 6 feet, but no less than 5 feet. You have to make a circle around the base of the oak tree. And I see that they just have this plastic orange nylon mesh stuff that's like 5 foot high, and they roll it, wrapped it around it. But I didn't see any chain link. I realize, oh, this can be cheaper and easier to do this and actually set up a chain link fence. And then we get this thing. It's like, the architect is going to go, he's going to send his guy down to the city and ask if it's okay if we just wrapped it with the orange. I'm like, how about you just tell them that's what we're doing? That's what we've done. Yeah, they might go for that. But, you know, they do. It says chain link fence, so they might not. But hopefully we can. It's like, are you kidding me? Do you know how much I pay in goddamn fucking taxes? They might go for that. And then I start getting pissed off. Like, I don't want to might go for that. Go show them the fucking pictures of the fucking trees and tell them this is what we did. Thank you. We'll be moving on and paying you copious amounts in taxes and in permit fees. Well, okay, but they might, well, you know, they might tell us just a chain link. And it's like, okay, I don't like that. You won't like it either. Believe me, you will not like it. It is not good. I would like to live in a country where I go, I've heard your suggestions about my oak trees on my property, and I've considered them.
but I shall be tearing down the fucking oak trees that I fucking want to at my expense on my fucking property. That'd be nice, but we don't live in that world. And to the assholes who would like a little more of that, go eat a 10-gallon dick.
Wow. Finish strong.
How are we going to choose?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Moments.
Rant of the year. I would have no idea what it would be. The rant of the year is Julie Chen, everybody.
Wouldn't have been possible without Julie Chen.
Wow. Yes, she shall be missed. I like when they have to go home and take care of their family, except for they don't have kids and their fucking husband just fucks other people.
Intact. But
still.
I'm just saying, like, if our kids were out of the house and all I did was fuck other people, Lynette wouldn't go like, I gotta go home and take care of Adam.
Yeah.
Especially if we had 21,000 square feet.
Yeah. I'm taking my wing.
I just gotta take care of my family. All right.
Wow. We did it.
That was great.
What a year.
We're going to go eat some ribs now, which we're all excited about. I want to thank Gina. I want to thank Brian. I want to thank Chris. Thanks. I want to thank Dawson and Kalen and Dylan and Lynch and Matt, Borson Punisher, and Gary and Emmy and Gabe and August and Giovanni, and that's all that's on the list.
Hey, if I may, really quick, cheers, you guys, to a great year.
To another great year. Clink,
I finished my champagne, but you guys.
And
you guys
beer. Forgot.
And beer.
And beer.
It's been a good A's Award.
And those are the A's Awards from 2018.
Solid year.
Yeah, such a solid year. All right, that'll do it for today's episode of Corolla Classics, but we're back tomorrow, so make sure to tune in. We'll see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana, that's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.